Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team. And rear end bubbles and wedge salads, PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man, his crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a two-hour lunch. A two-hour lunch. The email started getting rough, the producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Brad Kirsch and Big Head 2. The Balding One and his Punch. Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Chevy Tacoma. No, Toyota Tacoma's in the booth. How's your accelerator?
All right. Still working.
And
full speed ahead.
Paul's here. Andy's here. I'm here. Where's Eric? He's got food in front of him, but there's no Eric.
I believe he's talking to Patrick Chung.
Oh, really? One-on-one?
No. No. We don't get anything one-on-one.
Oh, okay. So he'll be here after he's done with his Patrick Chung conversation.
And after you stop hiccuping.
Oh, I just wolfed down an Italian. So, anyway.
Nothing from you for that?
Well, I thought we were going to wait till later to get into Fred's
I can't believe that.
Ventures into Gatum with his, he had a tennis date yesterday.
Andy believes that when you set up a time to play tennis with someone, it's automatically a date.
Did you play? No, you didn't even play. You guys hit the ball around and then he left you there and you seemed,
you know,
a little
so
sad.
So you can't arrange to
do you play often?
To hit.
You play often?
What's
a regular thing, or did you come across somebody in your job and somehow decided you two should get together on a Wednesday afternoon at 2:30 to bat each other's balls around?
Are you that homophobic? are you that homophobic where...
No, I have no problem with you being gay. I'm okay with it.
With two men can't go out and play tennis without, oh, they must be gay.
The answer to that may be yes.
Well, that's really...
Pickup tennis is okay.
That's really an indictment.
But scheduling it and this whole thing and how sad you were when he left early before you got to practice your serves.
Yeah. I think this is more an indictment on you than anything else.
When do you play pickup tennis? When is that like
Brett
an option?
And I played pickup tennis at the hotel.
Thank you.
Strolled out of our room,
thank
went
you,
to the front
Toyota.
Desk.
You just like strolled down to the tennis court with your tennis racket and hope somebody's there?
So you didn't know that? Toyota, you didn't know that if you wanted to play tennis, you just had to show up at a random place.
There's two ways
there
to play tennis.
There.
There's pickup tennis, and there's, I belong to a club, and every Thursday night I play tennis. But Fred scheduled a date with another man out of the blue. He's gone years without playing real tennis and decided he liked this man enough to get him on the court.
I'm with you, Fred. I've done that. I mean, how else do you play tennis?
Exactly. He's an idiot.
If you want to align with him, I'm fine with that.
Toyota.
I'm fine being opposite Tacoma here.
He's an idiot, okay? Anyway, a lot of...
While I find my boy Andy incredibly funny at times, and these are the kinds of things that I think he's really funny. He's wrong. But I get a lot of enjoyment and amusement. He amuses me.
It shows us how, you know,
if you're going to play tennis, you have to set something up. You can't just hope that there's someone down at the park.
It shows how warped he is, though.
Yeah, like, that's true. But that's what I really like about him.
He is so worried about people thinking that he might be anything but, you know, an a-hole and heterosexual.
There's no chance of that.
Oh, my God, I could never do that. He's unbelievable. Meanwhile, he'll show up at the gym with, you know, a tank top and Zumbas on, and that's okay.
That just proves you've never seen me at the gym.
You know, I'm talking about 10 years ago when you were juicing it up.
Never have worn anything other than a long-sleeve T-shirt to work out.
Come on. Anyway, shockwaves were sent through the AFC East. you know,
again
over the last
and it didn't involve the Patriots again.
Oh no, it did when the Patriots signed a punter, David King.
Oh yeah,
over the last, we'll talk about that. But Brandon Marshall is a Miami Dolphin, huge deal. Although, you know, the reports that it's made him the highest paid wide receiver of all time might be a little bit incorrect. Although it's a blockbuster deal in terms of that position, and once again, fans are upset. Or not upset, but worried that, you know, here's all these teams making all these big moves, and the Patriots are kind of just biding their time here.
Good news is they're taking calls on the draft picks, so they are going to be active on draft week.
I have to think, though, that with Brandon Marshall, either some of the other AFC East teams or all of them were in the bidding, because that deal got up there pretty quick. Something was telling Miami Dolphins they had to, you know, up the ante a little bit. And it had to be competition for Brandon Marshall. If they were the only got people interested, there's no way that deal would have been that big.
You think this team was interested?
But I think we might have been. Yeah, I do. I think the Bills might have been, and I think the Jets might have been.
I certainly could see those other two. But I
think Seattle was involved, you know, according to reports anyway, throughout the offseason. But
Fred's right. Why did it get so hot? One day you have Santonio Holmes going for a fifth, and the next day you got two twos and $50 million going to Brandon Marshall.
Oh, I think that's easy. You have the guy for the next 5 years as opposed to 12 games. It's going to cost you a lot
more.
No,
the Jets could have given, any team could have given Holmes an extension. Yeah, but it's the same thing. You were acquiring a one-year contract.
Yeah.
And
no,
then you extended
no,
the guy.
You did not have the opportunity to acquire Brandon Marshall on a one-year contract. He wasn't going to do it. He wouldn't have accepted. He would have never signed his tender without the deal to wherever he was going.
Well, I don't
he would
know
have never
that.
Signed his He signed his tender the day he got traded.
No, I know that.
He never would have done that without a... So I'm sure he was negotiating with these teams. He was a restricted free agent and allowed to do so. Holmes wasn't.
No, there's no doubt that before the trade.
But we argued that when you traded for Matt Cassel, the money was a big part of it, and it kept the value down. But the guy that you had to pay $50 million to?
I wouldn't argue that, by the way, but that's neither here nor there.
I'm just saying the argument at the time. The guy you have to pay $50 million to got a lot more than the other guy. He got 2 second-round picks.
He didn't get him. The team got him.
No.
No, but it's what you garner in compensation.
I just find it strange that those two players and those two trades are so drastically different when I think on the field, they're not drastically different. I think you got very similar top end, but maybe not elite receivers.
And off the field, they're not too different.
Listen,
that's the other thing. They both have issues off the field
that
could cost you at any minute.
If the Jets were interested in signing Santonio Holmes, now, they did not have the opportunity to negotiate with Santonio Holmes before the trade. Right. If they were interested in doing that and then somehow had a trade worked out that they were going to give the guy an extension or something like that, then I think it would have been closer in compensation. I think the fact that you only have the guy for 12 plus he is suspended,
right.
which you also knew at the time of the trade. You're absolutely right. Brandon Marshall,
they're both
is
a strike away.
Every bit as much of a risk off the field as Antonio Holmes. I'd argue more so. I think he's a worse guy than Santonio Holmes, Brandon Marshall. 11 calls
his
house.
Oh yeah.
You know, in a 3-year span, no question.
And he has on field. I don't know that Santonio Holmes has any issue on the practice or game field.
Yeah,
Brandon Marshall does.
I'm not going to change my opinion. All throughout this process, I did not want anything to do with Brandon Marshall. It does not change now that he's a Miami Dolphin and in the division. I wish he wasn't in the division, but he is. All that said, I don't think I think the Patriots are right to have waved at the parade as it went by with Brandon Marshall. I don't want any part of a guy for $47.5 million, and who knows where he's going to end up and how he's going to end up, you know, in terms of his eligibility throughout that contract. And by the way, I foresee no problems with him in South Beach. I think that's a perfect match for him.
It would have been nice.
You see, he showed up in at a Heat game with a Marlins jersey on last night, like living it up. He's already loving South Beach.
I think this makes it, though, even more, looking back, it should have been more imperative for the Patriots to try to get Anquan Boldin to at least do something major.
That's the guy I
would have
done.
That's a good
point. Season.
That's the guy I would have done. I would have been interested in him. But listen, they were all
keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak.
I'm intrigued by Brandon Marshall's talent. I think he's more talented than Santonio Holmes. I think, forget about the off-field and on-field problems. Pure talent, I think he's better than Santonio Holmes and worth more. I would have accepted him on the Patriots, but not for that kind of money. Because now, you know, what Mike Reese wrote would be true. You bring him in for that type of contract, and now Randy Moss and Wes Welker is kind of scratching his head going, really? You know, I know we say that, it doesn't matter. That matters. When you bring in a guy like that,
well,
and you give him that much money, your existing players that, you know, are wondering, hey, where do I stand in relation to that?
The three of us are all on record as saying we still don't think the Patriots should have gone after him. But yet you disagree. How come? Because of his on-field talent?
Because of the size of the deal. I would have liked to have had Brandon Marshall.
Because?
Of his talent.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But not for that type of deal.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Not for that type. I'm not going to give that type of guy that type of money.
Yeah. See, I don't agree with the whole line of thinking about the players that you currently have in the team. I don't really care. There's only one guy who should be, you know, above all else, and that's Brady. In terms of, I wouldn't bring a quarterback in and give him more money than Brady. Brandon Marshall right now is a better player than Randy Moss.
Yeah, but you factor in the other stuff.
Listen, I don't want him because of the other stuff, not because of the money. I don't want
Larry. If it was Larry Fitzgerald, I'd be right there with you. I don't care what Wes Welker thinks.
So it doesn't have anything to do with it then. So take it out because that's what it is all about. It's the off-field stuff.
Right.
That's the only thing preventing it.
That's
not the money.
That's right.
It's not Moss and Welker's feelings.
No.
It's the off-field reputation of Brandon Marshall.
And now I'm worried about their feelings.
I'm not.
Yeah. See, but if he was Larry Fitzgerald, I wouldn't care about their feelings. Larry Fitzgerald's worth what I'm going to give him,
I agree.
And I don't care what you think, Wes Welker.
I agree.
But Brandon Marshall, where his talent might be, elite, I'm not going to bring that kind of guy on my team and give him that kind of money. I'm sorry.
So you, all right? Let's say they had a contract that was to your liking. You think that Belichick and Brady and the other so-called leaders on the team would have been able to put this guy in his place and keep him? You do?
Well, that's the I think they would, yes.
I think you're blurring the line a little bit.
Hmm?
I agree with you that off-field stuff has a big factor in terms of bringing a guy onto your team. But I think in terms of paycheck, you're paid for your ability.
No, but these guys
I think there's
score.
Two kind of
these, when you reward a guy like that, and believe me, that's how they feel, these guys keep score. When a guy like that with that type of reputation comes in and you give him that much money,
so would Welker friction. Just go out and start being an a-hole because I'm paid less than him, so I should be more an a-hole?
No,
like,
see, now you're taking again. You're doing
But you're blurring the line between you're paid based on your production. That's what you're paid based on. Right? The other stuff is whether you decide you want a guy.
See, that's sort of my point about I don't really care what Wes Welker and Randy Moss think, because based on that, then they should be upset about Larry Fitzgerald, too.
Right.
If this is all, forget the money, this is all about the guy's off-field reputation. So you might make the argument that, look, I'd be willing to take a chance on that guy on my terms, the way the Patriots have done
right.
with Corey Dillon
exactly.
and with Randy Moss.
Right.
On my terms. One-year deal, little to no money risk. That's why I love what the Jets did. They don't have anything to lose with Santonio Holmes. If he blows up and doesn't play a game for them, they've lost a fifth-round pick, and that's it.
Right.
So there's very little risk involved there, and that's a Patriots-like move, if you ask me.
Exactly.
The Marshall thing, I don't want him because he's a bad guy, but I don't want him for short money because he's a bad guy either. I don't.
No,
I just thought.
And I hear what you're saying.
I think he could eat
no.
just as.
And you've been very consistent.
And this
with that.
Locker room, by the way, is not the same locker room that embraced Corey Dillon.
No, you're right.
And embraced Randy Moss. And there are different guys here.
No,
now.
But my point
I'd
is,
I'd be less
paycheck,
willing to bring in a guy like that right now.
Your paycheck is based on your talent. Once the Dolphins decided they would accept Brandon Marshall as he is, he then gets paid as an elite receiver. Are you telling me he made less because he's a douche? Because I don't think that's true.
No, but that
he
was
got
Miami,
paid based on his abilities.
That was Miami's decision. They obviously feel the same way. They're going to pay him based on his ability, and they're going to say, you're here on a clean slate. What you did before is in the past. We're going to assume you're not going to do it again.
Right, and that's how it's worked. Once you decide you can look past whatever, then the guy is simply the receiver who catches 100 balls a year,
and
you pay him as such.
And I would argue that on the Dolphins, they don't have any receivers to the caliber of Moss or Welker, who
God, no.
you might be worried about thinking of what they think. Where is my standing in terms of this guy that you just brought in?
Well, first of all, I don't know why Moss is included, because he tanked it last year and was a baby when we catered to him, and is on his way out the door.
Well, I don't
He's in his last year.
I don't think based on the numbers he tanked it.
The numbers came early in the year. I'm talking about when he specifically tanked it.
Well,
right? Against the Panthers? Did he or did he not tank it in that
Randy
game?
Moss
last half of the year.
Randy Moss.
Thought he had the injury thing.
Well, he may have, but whatever it was, he tanked it.
That's what you have to bank on. You have to hope that the performance, the decline in performance was injury-related. That's what you have to hope for right now.
But
not age-related, not attitude-related, not anything else.
But you're making a five-year decision based on 1 year of Moss? Because you'd have Brandon Marshall for 5 years.
In terms of, well, that's you know.
Welker, I'm okay, because he's probably, assuming he comes back to help, is going to be alongside Marshall
for four or five years. Who has hinted that he's looking for an extension.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, so. You know,
but why is he hinting that?
Right.
Not because he hasn't been arrested. He's hinting that because he's caught more balls than anybody in 3 years.
It doesn't matter why he's hinting it. He's looking for more money.
Right.
And now you're bringing in this guy and you're setting a precedent. And I think at that number, there's no way I would do it. I would just wouldn't do it. You know?
See, the money is irrelevant.
See, but my point.
Mine is just I didn't want Brandon Marshall. If I could get past that, then I'd bring him in a heartbeat and pay him the contract.
My point, and I think the one that Andy's trying to make, is you say that you would give that to Larry Fitzgerald. Because he's squeaky clean and that talented.
Yeah,
without worrying about Welker.
Yeah,
and us.
I'm not worried.
Well,
about
you don't think if they brought in Larry Fitzgerald that Welker would be looking for an extension?
Yeah, but then I can say to him, you know what? You're not going to get as much as him because you're not as good as him.
Well, I mean, you could certainly make that argument
with
any
Marshall.
Of these guys, Bolden.
And you're going to say,
Holmes,
yeah, but he's
Marshall.
A jerk or not a jerk? And I mean, I think the history of troubles don't cross.
Especially in a year when everyone from the owner on down is talking chemistry.
Right.
Especially
but that's
in
not
year.
Money related.
I know, and that's why I'm not bringing him in. If it was just
you don't
money.
Think it would, you don't think it would cause friction for a guy like Welker, for the brass to say to him, you're not as good after what he's done the last 3 years?
Yeah, but that's the fact.
I'm just saying, you're Welker. You've done what you've done here.
Yeah.
You've gotten better every year.
But if I'm basing it just...
But what is it a fact on? I mean, you could say it's a fact that Brandon Marshall is better.
Look, then everybody has that beef, okay? But I'm bringing guys... If I'm bringing guys in, I'm bringing them in based on their talent and paying them according to what I think is commensurate with that talent.
That's what I just said.
Well, Welker's view on that doesn't have anything to do
but
with
you
it.
But Brandon
off
Marshall
the whole
is
thing.
More physically talented than Wes Welker.
You started off
so
the whole thing by agreeing.
But when you add in the off-field issues, now I'm saying...
That's where I jump ship.
Now I'm saying, you know, I'm not even going to go there and have that be an issue. I'm not even going to bother with this guy. Yeah, I mean, I can't take Wes Welker's feelings into consideration when I'm building my team. But with a guy like that, I think he'd have even more of a legitimate gripe. And I don't think that, you know, I'm going to risk that.
I just think that you started off the whole thing by saying you agreed with the premise that you can't do that, at least partly because of Moss and Welker. They're going to be looking for more, and they're going to be wondering why more. And now you've sort of come around to say he's a bad guy, and that's why I can't do that. That's Andy and I's point. We're not interested, not because of anything else other than this guy is a bad guy,
right.
And he has quit on the field and off. He's been arrested multiple times.
Right.
I don't want that guy in my locker room.
No, but I said at the beginning. I said if it was just talent, I'd bring him in. You know, maybe not quite that much, but I'd bring him in. But when you add in the off-field, there's no way I'm giving that much money to that type of guy on this team. I'm just not doing it. That's the difference for me. I said that at the beginning.
But you also said stuff about Moss and Welker's feelings that I don't really think you care about based on your other stuff, and right. I agree. I'm with you.
I do care about them when we're talking about this type of guy. You know, you're talking about...
That's what I don't get, that blur.
Well, you're talking about team chemistry... You know, all this stuff, and now you're
well, how good is Moss for team chemistry?
Well, that's debatable.
So,
I mean,
certainly
all right,
is.
So by your logic,
I haven't heard one person on the team complain about Randy Moss.
But so by your logic, then, if...
Right?
If
I mean, no one has spoken out.
If the Patriots could have gotten Brandon Marshall for, I'm just throwing out a low number, $10 million.
Right.
You would have taken him?
Yeah.
Even though there's all the chemistry stuff
yes.
that they're...
Yes. Then I could
so just
go,
because he's
then
cheap,
I, then I could do
you would have taken him.
Then I could do the same thing I did with Corey Dillon and Randy Moss before. And I, and if someone came comes to me, I'm Bill Belichick, and say, you know, what do you say? Look, it's a no-risk thing. It's like what the Jets did. It's a less risk. We'll straighten him out. If he doesn't work out, we'll get rid of him.
Yeah, but like one of these guys said earlier, there aren't the guys on this team who can do that anymore.
I understand that, but Eric, Miami is stuck with this guy now. Okay, the Jets are
That's true.
The Jets are not stuck with Santonio Holmes or Cromartie.
No, they're not.
You know, that's the difference. They have an out. The Jets, the Miami Dolphins have committed to this guy monetarily. You know?
Yeah, I realize that.
That's a big difference than what the Patriots have done in the past with guys and what the Jets did this year with a couple guys. It's a big difference. That's acceptable to me, what the Jets and did with Cromartie in Holmes. Not acceptable to me, and I can't explain it to a guy like Wes Welker what Miami did. Not that you know, and I understand what you're saying. I shouldn't have to explain it to Wes Welker.
But if he's coming to you and looking for an extension,
yeah, I do care about
you have to explain it to him.
Yeah, I do care about Wes Welker.
You should.
Yeah.
I just think your explanation to Wes Welker is the same. If you decide that that guy is worth taking and giving that money to, you say he's better than you.
Yeah.
And I think Wes Welker's questions are the same. His question about wanting a raise is totally based on his own production. And comparing it to Brandon Marshall would be just the same. Wow, Brandon Marshall had 20 less catches than me over the last 3 years, and yet you gave him $7 million. I don't think Wes Welker would ever say he's a headache, he's a this, he's a that. I think the money and the production go hand in hand.
I know, but again, if it's based simply on ability, I can with a straight face, look at Wes Welker and say, look, this is what I think he's worth.
I think so little of Brandon Marshall, the person, that I think I'd probably get clouded in his ability. I don't even think he's that great.
He's definitely overrated.
I think he's a very good wide receiver. I don't think he's one of the elite. I don't think he's one of.
He's
think
second
he's a,
tier.
You know what he is? He's a glorified possession receiver.
Yep.
I mean, they keep showing on NFL Network.
He's not that much better than Welker.
The one bomb he caught,
glorified.
Against Washington, I think, last season, I don't think he's a big play guy. I think he's great after the catch. He's a physical guy, and he can make plays running, like the one he made against, was it Dallas, the game winner?
Yeah.
Look, he's a very good player. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player. I'm not saying he's a stiff, but I don't think he's Randy Moss in his prime. I don't think he's T.O. in his prime.
He's not Andre Johnson.
I certainly don't think
Calvin
he's Andre Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald or Calvin
Fitzgerald.
Johnson or these big play, high impact guys.
Not even
guys.
Sure he's Vincent Jackson.
Yeah. I
don't think he's one of those.
I think he was on that trajectory.
Well, that's what he
was.
Is.
I agree with Paul.
He's a 100-catch guy.
He's a different Wes
Welker.
I think last year
he's
was
a bigger, more physical Wes Welker.
I think last year was his coming out year, and I think
so. He is on that,
but
trajectory.
It was on that trajectory.
It wasn't last year. Wasn't a coming out year.
He's caught 100 in one game.
He's caught 100 passes 3 years in a row.
I know, but I just think that
he is what he is. He's a possession receiver. He's a good one.
Is he better than Hushmanzada?
Absolutely. You know what I think of Hushmanzada? I think he's a stiff.
Right. But you think he's better than Hushmanzada. Is he better than Ocho Cinco?
No.
No, I'll take Ocho Cinco. I don't care about the stats.
See, I think they're very similar.
No way. Ocho Cinco stretches the field. Brandon Marshall doesn't.
They're not similar in style. And
yeah. Now, you could say for age, you'd take Marshall, and you'd probably be right. Marshall's what, going to his fifth year? Ocho Cinco is probably like 10th year. I mean, in terms of this, and like I said, with Owens and Moss in their prime, I don't think they're comparable at all. I take those guys that can make big plays and stretch the field. Calvin Johnson, to me, is the young prototype. Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, those guys, to me, are the young prototype.
Yeah.
Playmakers.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Hey, let me throw something totally different.
Bottom line is, they're not Patriots. They're all on the teams we have to compete with.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part, is that he went into the division, much like Holmes.
I gotta tell you,
he's very excited about it.
If they don't get a pass rush, these DBs are in trouble. Because both teams now have the ability to challenge you underneath, deep, and in the middle of the field.
Yeah, the Jets have the better defense.
I mean, Ted Ginn, Brandon Marshall, and Devon Bess can challenge you all over the field. I'm not saying Ted Ginn is great, but if he runs untouched by you because you're looking at Brandon Marshall, you're in trouble.
You brought up a guy, though, that I wanted to talk about in Ginn. And, you know, last week, Florio had an item about him possibly being on the trading block. Wouldn't cost you anything. Maybe, you know, they're speculating a sixth or seventh round
pick. Why are they getting rid of him?
Well, I'm not exactly sure why.
You already blew the pick. Trading him doesn't fix anything.
because I do think they have a decent core of receivers now with Marshall, because what they had was, and Florio pointed this out, they have a bunch of good guys with Bess, and Hartline had a decent rookie year. The other kid, Patrick Turner, had a decent rookie year last year. Ginn has been a bust. Camarillo, Greg Kimmerer. They have a bunch of, like, possession underneath scrappy slot guys, but they didn't have – but Ginn's the only home run hitter. That's one thing they don't have. Now, he's a bust for the top 10 pick that he was, but right. Is he – like Andy says, is he that bad that you just throw him away?
Right. He's still a returner.
Yeah, now, I'll tell you right now, skills. I think that's a guy – and I said this to Fred and Eric yesterday, Andy, and I didn't get your opinion – I would be interested in him as the Patriots. If I could get him for a sixth or seventh round pick,
I would take him just as a returner.
Absolutely. That's the worst that happens is he bolsters your return game. I would be interested in that. And I know that the Pats fans guys had a thread about it going on. It didn't seem like most of them really wanted him. I didn't read the whole thread.
I'd take him for a sixth or seventh, I don't think the Dolphins would ever do it.
But that's the speculation of what they're looking for.
Put him in the Matthew Slater role?
No, for us, they're looking for a fourth. From a team outside the division, maybe they take
Well, that might be true, too. But I would give him a fourth for him.
Would you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably my limit.
I'd bring him in to upgrade the return game and hope that he can contribute as a receiver as well.
Yeah. He's a guy you could put on the other side of Moss to kind of balance that out. Now, I don't know about the system and him picking things up and all that stuff. You never know that until a guy gets in the system. But I think he could balance the field. You could have Edelman in the slot, Brandon Tate, you know, supposedly coming back. He mixes in there, and all of a sudden you draft the guy, in the first couple of rounds, maybe your wide receiver position isn't quite as barren as it looks right now.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Chris with a TIAN is on the phone. Christian, how you doing?
I'm a little aggravated, guys. How about you?
You're aggravated.
Yeah, I am too, Christian.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with this, though.
It's politics.
I'm actually just calling to I wasn't sure. I don't know what you guys were talking about, but I'm aggravated. We had the ammo to get Marshall, and we did it. Not only that, but he goes to a division foe, so we're going to see him twice a year. Listen, the value and stuff is great with the second round picks. I'm all for that, but when you need elite players and you lack that, wide receiver and linebacker and stuff, and you got the pieces to get a guy like that, go get him.
So Christian, you're at the point now that it's, get these guys at all costs, because with Marshall, you're really, it's at all costs. You're giving him a huge salary, and you're
bad
perhaps
guy.
Disrupting chemistry that you've talked about, or everyone's talked about, is so important this year. You would have done it?
Yeah, I would have done it for two reasons. Theoretically, Moss is off the books next year. So, you need a guy for the future.
Yep.
And two, we don't know the status of Welker. As great as Edelman was last year, we don't know when Welker's going to come back, if he's going to come back after week six, or if he's going to come back at all.
He was throwing the ball with Brady at UCLA, according to Rick Neuheisel.
I saw that the other day, yeah.
Throwing?
throwing
the ball. I want to know if he's running.
Yeah, me too. And cutting.
Yeah.
Obviously not, but, I would have did it. Now, listen, the contract is enormous, and the off-field concerns, definitely issues that you'd have to weigh and take a look at. But, the division now, the way it is, it's not like it was in 06 and 07 when, you were going to go 5-1, guaranteed pretty much 4-2 at the worst every year. The Jets picked up, arguably three Pro Bowlers in Thomas and Cromartie and Holmes, and they still got the first and second round picks. Miami went out and got Dansby and now Marshall. So they got better, and we pretty much stayed the same. Now, we're supposed to sign Wolfuck, we're supposed to sign Bodden, because those would have just been holes to fill if we didn't sign them. But it's like, come on, where's the aggressiveness? Are we going to do something next week, and Thursday or Friday, to make a trade? For who? I don't know. But, they're slipping. They're definitely slipping. They slipped last year, and they're slipping this year, and I hope he's got something good up his sleeve. I really do, because it's a lot.
Christian, Fred looks like he has one of those rape and pillage like soliloquies coming soon.
Well, it sounds like Christian needs one of those right now. He needs a boost.
Fred looks like he has one coming.
What do you think I'm calling for, Fred? Give it to me. Come on, let's go.
No, it's
down in the dumpster.
I hear what you're saying. It's not over yet.
That's all you got? It's not over yet?
There's a long...
Championships aren't won in April. Why don't you just push them off the bridge?
It's a long way to go. And as we've seen, teams that make the biggest splashes in the offseason rarely are the ones that end up playing in
Patriots.
February.
You know? Except for us at 07.
Right, yeah.
Fred, I love you, pal.
Well, I would say in 07 we probably weren't the team that made the biggest splash in the offseason. I have to look back, but
we were.
I
have to look back, too, to find somebody who
signed
the Dallas Thomas trade for Randy Moss and Wes Welker.
In our history, it was huge, but
anybody's
in
history
was
huge.
Yeah.
Fred, what are you shaking your head,
Fred?
That
was certainly the biggest splash that year. I don't want to say
it was unanimous. People thought they were going to win the Super Bowl after
people
they made
were writing
moves.
Your column in April.
Yes.
Might as well hand them the Lombardi Trophy
right.
now.
Biased people, too.
Yes. National people were writing that in April.
At the time they signed Wes Welker, people were, like, shaking their heads.
No. Moss, Thomas, and Welker.
Right.
But don't make it sound like it was Welker and people were writing. No, there weren't op-ed pieces in the New York Times about Wes Welker. Right. But when they got Thomas, Moss, Welker, Kyle Brady,
Sammy Morris,
they were writing, you might as well hand him the Lombardi Trophy now.
They were, Fred.
I know you roll your eyes at Kyle Brady, but all you've done this year is Kyle Brady. You haven't done the seven things they did outside of Kyle Brady that year.
Kyle Brady, Morris, and Welker weren't part of the things that made people think that they were going to win.
It was part of it.
It was part of it.
Yes, they were.
It was a solid all-around team they were building.
The difference is they added the stars with the normal complementary pieces that they always signed.
When they signed Moss, half the media was saying no one knew what he was going to do because of his last couple of years at the Oakland.
That is true, but everybody knew. Everybody knew that Tom Brady and Randy Moss were a potentially lethal combination. That's why people were saying, might as well give him the Lombardi Trophy now. And they were right, by the way. They went 18-0. They were right.
There was a significant faction of media and people, you know, just regular fans who didn't know what they were going to get out of Moss when they got him. It was a big risk.
Well, you never know.
The vast majority of people thought they were going to win the Super Bowl.
And many of them,
if you recall, in week two, Bill Belichick was asked about undefeated season.
If you recall, week two.
He said it was ridiculous. He was asked about it in week two.
I'm just concentrating on the San Diego
Chargers.
I'm not talking about
once the season started, it was obvious this team had something special. I'm talking about before the season.
But people knew there was a chance for
this. This is before the season. This is week two. This is before.
It wasn't even close to prior to 2009 when the Patriots were the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Are you kidding me?
You don't think
the Patriots of 07 were a more prohibitive favorite than they were last year?
Not in April.
You're incorrect.
Not in April.
You're wrong.
All right, Christian. Keep your chin up. Great job on the site again with the draft, guys. Phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you.
I agree with you that everybody thought they were going to win the Super Bowl
in
09, but not to the extent that people were handing them the trophy in 07.
07, the clamor, again, you know, when they got Moss.
Weren't they Stallworth? I forgot about.
Stallworth, Washington.
Those guys were huge at the time.
When they got Moss in April around the draft, you know, on the second day of the draft, there were a lot of questions. That right after that, Borges came out with the thing from the Raiders that said he was done. You know, an unnamed person from the Raiders said he was
done.
And
everybody, as they do with all negative Borges pieces, mocked it.
You know, dismissed it. Yes.
But
see, that's the thing, is you find the one that goes the other way. And that's what you base
your
thoughts on.
There were a lot of people saying, why would they bring him on this team? He's a turd. He's cancer.
And I think part of that was a lot of people thought with Stallworth, Kelly Washington, and Wes Welker, they already had the makings of a very good team.
And then two days later, everybody said, well, if Bill brought him in, he must be sure, like Corey Dillon.
As a matter of fact.
And it was over.
As a matter of fact, the biggest cheerleaders in the region on EEI, Belichick had to talk them down.
That's exactly who I'm talking about. Right. 2 days later, when Bill said, just give him a chance.
Right.
Everybody said, Super Bowl, give him a chance.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did, Fred.
Yes, they did.
It took time until we saw
Fred,
what he was
going to do. Fred, we legitimately had a discussion here.
We did. I'm not talking about us.
Did we have a discussion last year about going undefeated before the season started? I don't remember that. But I do remember Andy and I talking about them having a very real possibility of going undefeated. I know the guy from North Attleboro says it was only Andy, but we proved that with the tape.
The only year
we proved that with the tape that Andy and I were talking about in the summer.
The only year
I'm used to.
The only year in Patriots history that they went in the offseason and were the favorite in Las Vegas to win the Super Bowl was 09. That's the only year that ever happened.
That's not true.
Yes, it is true.
It's not true.
It's absolutely a fact.
I'll guarantee you they were the favorite in 08. I'll guarantee it.
No, not the Las Vegas odds.
I'm with Paul.
I think they might have been.
They went 18-1. They were 20 seconds away from the Super Bowl and brought the same crew back.
No. I'm pretty sure they were. I'm pretty sure they were odds on favorites in 08.
I'm telling you, because I remember distinctly writers saying this is the first time that the Patriots were the odds on favorite to win the Super Bowl.
When you do your fantasy odds about MLS attendance, I'm going to give you the facts and then you're going to take them, right?
Okay, sure. Okay. Sure. You know?
Move along.
Right.
I just want to give me another example of when they were anywhere near as active as 2007.
I said in Patriots history, it was an unbelievable.
No, I'm talking about in the NFL
right,
in 07.
That's what I'm saying.
The NFL in 07, that was the biggest splash any team
made.
Not the Patriots, any team.
You know, and because of it, everybody said in the spring that they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Well,
and they were right. They should have won that.
People looked at that team
game
and said, "Look what they've done. They've separated themselves from the pack." Listen, they didn't win it all, but they were clearly the best team in football that year. The prognostications were correct.
Right.
Everything it wasn't happened. Over. It wasn't like hyperbole.
They gelled on
it
the
wasn't
field.
An
there
overreaction.
Weren't many injuries. The Spygate thing unified the team instead of distracting them.
And that's exactly why in 09. Everyone thought they were going to win because they were back together. They had built on 07. Brady was back.
So,
Randy Moss says we have a chance to be even
a
better offense than we were in 07.
So they were the favorite in 09 because of what they did in 07.
But not 08.
After Tom Brady took an entire year off with an injury. But they weren't the favorite in 08 coming back off of that season.
Argue with Vegas. Don't argue with
Vegas. Arguing with Vegas. I'm arguing with you because I know Vegas had them as a favorite.
I'm not the
I'll bet you that Vegas had them a favorite in 05, 6, 7, 8, and 9. I'll bet you more often than not,
Tacoma,
in those 5 years, they were the favorite.
I'm telling
more often than not, if not every year.
I'm telling you right now, Paul, when Vegas sets the odds after the season, it's the first time that
Who are you using for Vegas, by the way?
I don't, whatever they say, you know, in the press, you know.
No, because I know that's how you'll get out of this one. You'll have a Fred Kirsch's and you'll
find one place that
say,
had somebody else.
I
one
got
place
Jim,
in Vegas.
Jim
right.
and Joe's Casino in Reno had the Patriots the second best odds. See?
Just
I told
off
you.
The strip.
That's not Vegas.
I mean, you remember the stories.
Yes, we do.
I don't ever remember a story
that,
in 09 saying that was
the
only
the first time they were
the only
ever the
time
favorites.
They were ever the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I don't remember that story.
And I remember us saying it. Wow. I remember us
coming. I don't remember any of this.
Because remember these
I
odds.
I remember Sports Illustrated
Paul,
picking them to beat the Buccaneers
in April.
What was it, 02?
They
03?
Come out all the
February.
Time.
Like that.
I know. No, but I'm not talking about how they progress.
I knew we would have a stipulation. I'm talking about before the season starts.
Well, when is that?
I don't care when you're saying. I'm talking about before the season starts.
The one
we don't know this year because the schedule hasn't come
out
yet.
The one that got written about last year was as soon as the 08 season was over, Vegas issues the odds for 09. And that's when the Patriots
They usually do it right after the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And I'm guaranteeing you that that's not the only time the Patriots
It was the only time.
You're telling me when there was discussion that Tom Brady wouldn't play in 09?
Right.
They were the favorites to win the Super Bowl?
Yes, they were.
But they weren't the year before when they were 18-1.
When they were coming off an 18-1 season and Brady had yet to be hurt?
Don't argue with me. Argue with Vegas.
I'm arguing with you. You're in front of me. You're the only one who's saying this. I think Vegas had it right, and you're wrong.
Well, I mean, that's what this...
Unless you read one idiot story, and that's just stuck in your brain.
And listen... I don't know what odds you're using. I don't know what time frame you're using. I don't know what casino you're using. All I'm telling you is from covering covering this team over the last 8 years, I can't think of more than one, maybe two times that they weren't considered the favorite for winning the Super Bowl.
And it was the Colts.
And I don't care what you're using for your odds, for your Vegas, for your
Reno,
whatever.
The year after
whatever.
The Colts won, they were considered
the favorite. I'm telling you, the Patriots
year.
Are always considered a favorite to win the Super Bowl. Always, and they deserve to be.
Why are you looking at me? All right.
And they deserve to be.
No.
They're always in it.
I'm not
now, maybe
about,
not now, but
I'm not
they
talking about
to be.
Lindy's Guides and Sports Illustrated.
We're not either.
Prognostic
We're not either.
I'll give you another one.
We're talking about Vegas.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about the odds. Everybody
that's what we're
was,
talking about.
Everybody was shocked, as a matter of
I
fact.
I was never. I
wasn't shocked.
This
last year because Brady was still coming off an injury. And, you know, how could Vegas do that? How could they think
right.
that they're...
That might have been shocking,
can
the
we
fact that, that he's coming off the injury and they still
right,
think they're...
Right, and they still did.
But it wasn't shocking that they were Super Bowl favorites
they're
that
always
early.
A Super Bowl
they
favorite.
Always are.
They're always Super Bowl favorites. Anyway, another thing that's sort of been written a lot lately in this quest to shoot down the Jets in Miami around here because the Patriots supporters and the media are out in full force. You know, championships aren't won in April, blah, blah, blah. We talked about it. Look, it all comes down, I think, for actually both of those teams, quarterbacks.
Oh, God, yeah.
The Patriots remain light years ahead of both of those teams in quarterback play, and until that changes, I have a hard time, you know, exalting these teams to automatic champion status. They have to prove it to me. But one thing that is, I think, getting written a lot that I don't buy at all, the Washington Redskins. Have you read the Redskins in every single one of these stories? Oh, the Redskins do this every year. They go out and they sign all the big names and they throw all the money around and look, they did. Name me one offseason that the Redskins were considered to have had a good offseason. I'm not talking about a flashy offseason. They always get the highest priced free agents. They always spend the most money. They always jump in fastest. But you tell me a time where people looked at all the signings they made and said, Washington's the Super Bowl team to beat. When was the last time that happened?
When were the Redskins in the conversation?
But they were in all
the
of these stories.
The Jets are coming off an AFC title game.
Redskins are in all these stories coming out right now. Every year, Daniel Snyder makes all these moves. It's been 5 years since the Redskins were considered a good team.
Right. The year they got LeVar Arrington, I think that was
last. That was like 8 years ago.
Exactly. That was the last year where they made splashes and people go, oh, they got a chance to win it. And then people got smart about it.
No, but they were never even a comparable to the Jets.
Exactly.
They were always trying to get out of crappiness and do it through money, and that's fine.
There's no comparison.
We're AFC title game participants, and we're adding to their roster, and they've added big names and talent, whatever, but the Redskins have never been in the conversation.
You mentioned quarterback. I just want to change the subject real quick. Did anyone think it's interesting, other than me, that the quarterback for this team wasn't here in the beginning of the offseason, showed up
any other
a couple
years?
Weeks ago,
quickly left,
and then was photographed in Paris and now is throwing footballs around
Angeles. He came here to make an appearance and then left quickly.
All right, just wanted to point that out. I just didn't want
that
to go.
What do you want? He was here for a day. What are you looking for?
Okay, you're right, Paul.
What are you looking for?
You're right.
Things have changed. Priorities have changed. There's different things in
this
life.
Oh, is this the knock Tom Brady segment of the show now?
I'm pointing out a fact.
When did we get to the you'd only offer him 4 years and $80 million segment of the show?
I wish we had Ben Roethlisberger.
I just want to point it out.
By the way,
all.
2 months ago, you said Roethlisberger was well on his way to being a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you liked him.
He was.
Thank you.
Then he had
so don't pretend like you've never liked Ben Roethlisberger.
An unfortunate incident in a Georgia bathroom.
All of us now understand that he's a creep, a predator.
That's nothing to do with his playing ability.
Wow. Exactly.
Andy Hart just called him a predator.
Well, he is.
And he actually had that like that twang to his voice, like the guy on what's that guy's name that they always do that on NBC?
Matthews.
What's the guy that does that NBC. To catch a predator? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
what's the guy's name?
Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen.
Oh, we should have known. He's our punter.
Not that he watches a lot.
Former punter.
And now,
let's take a seat, Paul.
Because he's not on the team right now.
Dave King.
Right.
I've always wanted an Australian rules punter, and it looks like they finally got one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about David King in a little bit.
Talk to Damian. Why to Damian Lewis?
We have nothing to say on him, so you can just say Patriots signed David King, former Australian rules punter.
There was an interesting story that went along with that.
There's more than one of them, and they screwed up the
release. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Never know what you're talking about when you tell me the Patriots have never been the favorite before.
But it never stops you from flapping your
mouth. It's called radio. It's called radio, Fred.
It's just keep
if
talking.
You only spoke when you knew what you were talking about, you'd forever be silent.
Right.
You got all Macapella.
And if you ever thought before you talked, you'd still have a job in Dartmouth. But, you know.
See, he doesn't have the facts ever right.
Wow.
Oh, I got facts. Well,
no, you don't.
Oh, I have some facts.
No, you don't.
Remember, I ran the coach's clinic. I talked to some people.
I'm sure you did. Wow. I'm okay with that.
I have a question to ask.
Yes.
And this is a legit question. And this isn't the ulterior motive question. I know that Antonio Cromartie is a complete rockhead. He's got several, you know, children with several different women.
Right.
Notice I didn't put a number on it this time, Andy.
Because last time you put
he legitimately got like
children more than the number of
he
women.
He got like a three or something on the Wunderlich test. He can't read. I mean, Florida State. There's a lot of stories about how dumb he is, okay?
Right.
But I'm not diminishing the child support, which obviously he owes and needs to take care of and his responsibilities. But has he been in legal trouble?
I don't know.
Is he a guy like, why is he being lumped in with Santonio Holmes in terms of the quote-unquote risks that the Jets are taking? That's a legitimate question. I don't know the story.
I've heard hints that there was, but I don't know what they were.
Because every time you say, they could go out and get these guys, like, you know, they roll the dice on a guy like Cromartie. Where's the dice being rolled?
Yeah.
He's a pretty good player.
Right.
Now, he might not be a guy you want to go have a beer with.
Right.
But I don't, to the best of my knowledge, he hasn't been linked to, you know, substance abuse issues or suspensions.
No, I think there was a suspended license for
assaults or
something
like that.
Yeah, I mean, that I know of. Right. And that's why I'm legitimately asking. There's stories about this guy. Yeah, he's a step away from being lost for a year or something. I don't know about.
That's where strippers could maybe send us if he knows of anything.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm just being totally legit. I just find it weird that a guy, Santonio Holmes, is in and out of trouble every 6 months.
Right.
I haven't really heard that with Antonio Cromartie.
Right. TG and NJ says, guys, wait a minute. We fear Brandon Marshall and Santonio Holmes, but do we fear Sanchez and Chad Henne? Those great receivers ain't nothing without their QBs to throw them the ball. If Sanchez and Henne struggle, how will these great receivers react if they're not getting the ball?
Well, you saw what what Henne looked like against this defense in Miami last year.
I mean, I would make that argument that Henne without Brandon Marshall riddled you.
Yeah, looked like Dan Marino.
To Andy's point early in the show, you better have a good pass rush because these receivers are going to get open.
Yeah,
anybody can get the ball to an open guy.
I already know enough about those two guys that they're not going to just flat fall on their faces. If you give them too much space and too much time, they're going to beat you.
Right.
I'm not saying their franchise quarterbacks that for 10 years will be in the Super Bowl, but they'll beat you if you give them enough.
Right.
TJ's larger point, I think, is accurate because you can make all the improvements you want. If you don't get solid play from the quarterback spot, it's hard to win.
And it doesn't have to be elite play, just solid.
Solid.
But right. And again, the Brandon Marshall thing, I think he could blow up if he doesn't like Chad Henne.
Right.
But Santonio Holmes, if he is on the sideline, if he's in uniform and available to play that day,
I agree.
I'll take him in a heartbeat. He's not a problem.
He's not been a football problem. Brandon Marshall has been.
Right. Brandon Marshall's a problem on field, off field, in between fields, everything.
He was a big, big part of that Pittsburgh offense. Big part. Jason in Wisconsin, I wanted to ask you guys, with Santonio Holmes and Brandon Marshall moves, do you think the Patriots are going to make defense a higher priority in the draft than what it was, say, a week ago?
No.
And if so, does this make the pass rush or the secondary more of a need? Finally, as far as the emails from all the jackholes complaining about the show, tell them to stick it. I enjoy the show way it is. It's a realistic view of the Patriots, and it's fun. I'd hate to hear what those clowns put together. They were given a chance. Either they'd bash the Pats in every way and bitch and moan for an hour, or they'd be complete homers and ignore the problems that the team currently has. So keep up the great job, and thanks for putting out 4 hours of content every week.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Who was complaining?
It'll be six during the season.
Who was complaining?
Kevin Hizak?
Oh.
No, I don't know.
Rhymes with
But
ball
thank
sack.
You for the kind words, although I hope
not really, but
I hope you wasn't judging on the last half hour.
Yeah, not our best open to show. I had a question I wanted to pose for the rest of the show.
Pose.
Coming in. You're not allowed to say Sergio Kindle. 22. Number 22 pick. I think we've all decided if Kindle's available, he's the guy we want. He's perfect.
No,
fit, blah, blah, blah.
I disagree. I'd rather have Brandon Graham.
Okay.
I like his quickness. And I know he's not tall, but I like his quickness.
And you know that there are some serious questions as to him playing the position.
I understand because he's not a run.
Rusher.
He's not, you know, as good an all-around player
he's
as Kindle.
He's a straight-ahead guy, they call
But
him.
What he does pretty damn well.
And that's a Bill statement. If you can only do one thing, you better do it very well.
Right, right.
He does it well.
You know?
There's no question about that. He does that well.
So.
But does that fill the
I've
need
kind of
spot?
Fallen in love with Brandon Graham in a man kind of way.
I just, kind of like your tennis partner.
We'll talk about that in a minute, too.
I just wanted
an email.
Like, Dan Williams?
Okay, I'm looking for other names because we've all kind of just fallen in with Sergio Kindle.
The whole time I was thinking of somebody. The whole time Fred was talking.
What about Dunlap? No, thank you.
He doesn't like Dunlap.
I know we don't like him.
I do.
I know we don't like him as a person. But
I don't know him as a person. I just know he was dumb enough to get suspended for the biggest game of his life.
Well, that's what I mean, as a person.
Matt's.
He's got his off-field problems.
Yeah. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
It's not an easy question.
Kevin's on the phone. Hey, Kevin.
Which Kevin?
Good Kevin?
This is good Kevin.
Oh, okay. Not the ball sack? I mean, Hizak? Go ahead, Kev.
Florida right now.
You're in Florida?
Yes.
Are you calling on Skype?
Magic Jack?
No, calling on my iPhone, Fred.
Oh, I'm surprised you were able to get service.
Hey,
calling from outside the stadium, Andy, not inside.
Yeah, in fact, when I went to the U2 concert, I couldn't get any service there. I was trying to look a score, I think, some football games, and when I was in the stadium, I couldn't get any service.
Wow.
I thought they were blocking it. It was kind of weird. But anyways, Cromartie, wasn't one of the reasons they got rid of him is because he had a bad season last year, and he practically just gave up on the when they were playing Jets?
Well, I don't know about gave up. There was a question about tackling in the running game. There was a clip that was sent around a lot. And he didn't have a good year. But
he wasn't all pro a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he's
still
now,
has talent.
It's what we talked about when they got him. He didn't go somewhere to be a team's savior and number one corner.
No.
He went to fit in on a defense that was already great and has the best corner in football.
Is he better or worse than Lito Shepherd?
Better.
That's the guy he's replacing.
Better. Yeah.
Well, wasn't Lito Shepherd, though, when they got him, supposed to be really good? And we said, why can't we get Lito Shepherd?
He was considered a good corner.
He was a good corner, and he's still a good corner, but he's not. I don't think he's an all-pro caliber corner, and certainly...
He's not signed yet, too, right? Nobody signed him yet?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But I don't think much of Lito Shepherd. I do remember when the Patriots, because he was on the outs in Philadelphia,
you're right.
And wanted out in the worst way, and Patriots fans wanted to get him. I remember that, and the Jets ended up acquiring him instead.
And
but I think Cromartie's an upgrade over Shepherd.
Our boy Santi, they had some Andy Reid had some what I would say probably negative comments to him, and he didn't seem to like that. And
no, he gave it right back to him
because they're a big family there, and they treat him like a man.
Right, you got
was,
it right.
See, that was
Kevin.
See, that was lawyer. Lawyer was big on the family talk.
Good, Kevin. That was well played, Kevin.
There was a huge smile on my face when I read that.
Let me just answer this question, yes or no. Would you like to have him in the secondary right now?
Yes.
No further questions.
But
all right.
Still a big smile on my face. One other thing, and I'll let you guys go. I was on Dez Bryant at first, and then I cooled. But not that I've seen some of these other moves. And I'm kind of thinking now, if they brought him in to interview him and they liked what he had to say, I'm kind of thinking I maybe might take him at 22. Am I panicking or?
If he's available at 22, I'm taking him. But he's not going to be.
Well, no, some people think he will not go in the first round.
Yeah. Really?
He could be available. If 10 teams have taken him off their boards. I mean, what if all 10 of those teams are ahead of the Patriots?
I don't believe that, by the way.
But, Fred, there is now legitimate speculation that he could be available at 22.
I'm the only guy who...
I I'm seriously considering
taking... I've actually seen him slotted in some recent
mock drafts. Pass rush be damned.
I believe Pro Football Weekly's came out today, their latest mock, and it had Dez Bryant to the Patriots
really?
At 22.
Really? Because I think he's got that...
I would take Dez Bryant. I know you guys wouldn't. Yeah. But I don't want him at 22. I don't want him at 22 just because...
You don't think he's got rare talent?
I do, but there's too many questions. I don't want a guy with that amount of questions that, you know, in the first round.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that they're going to have those questions answered before they...
But you can't answer them. You think you have an answer. You can't answer them.
No, but in their
mind... Do you think, like just for an example, they sat and talked to Corey Dillon before he got here. Do you think the Patriots could sit here and tell you, I'm sure of it. There's no chance he's going to be a problem. To the best of their ability,
right,
they think there's no problem. But there's still a risk.
Of course, there's a risk with any guy. But
right.
Yeah, more than others.
I want to have
the one that's
the only risk
others.
I want in drafting a player in the first round is whether or not he can play. That's the only risk I want. Mm-hmm. I don't want
all players have that, including Dez Bryant.
Because you can't eliminate that.
Right.
Well,
let me ask you this: if somebody told you you could have Dez Bryant and you'd only have him on 3 years, and after 3 years you got rid of him because not because he got arrested or he beat up somebody. He's just more or less a knucklehead, right? But during those 3 years, he puts up all-pro numbers. Would you take him? Knowing that you're going to have great, well, 1 year we may not have football, but next 3 years you're probably going to get Tom Brady at a high level. Would you take him?
All-pro years I'd take.
I wouldn't because I want a first-round pick to last more than 3 years on my team.
But in the NFL, three all-pro years is a lifetime.
That trumps seven okay years.
A lot of times a wide receiver takes a couple years before they come the all-pro.
Great,
so
Brandon Merriweather.
Now you're talking 5 years. So
I got Brandon Merriweather for 5, 7, 8 years, but he's jacked.
I would take him, Kevin.
I would
too. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, he comes in and he's the talent that a lot of people think he can be, and he puts up big numbers for 3 years. But after the, you know, that fourth year, you're like, well, we got 3 years out of them. Sure. We don't want to invest a lot of money, and you let them go.
Yep, go for it.
I'm all for it.
I'd take them.
If Mark Sanchez was my quarterback or a rookie quarterback, I wouldn't do it. But with a veteran quarterback like Tom Brady, I'd do it.
Yeah,
I think three all-pro years is
still guaranteed the all-pro year.
To me, in the NFL, that's a lifetime. If you guaranteed three all-pro seasons, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that is... Wes Welker has had a great run here, right? And that's what he's had, three great years.
Right.
It may be over. We don't know what the injury is going to be. It may be over. I'd still take Wes Welker because for 3 years he was the centerpiece of your offense.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
See you, Kev.
Thanks for the call.
Enjoy Florida.
Thanks, Kevin.
David, I want to thank David in Tinola.
Where's Tinola?
Outstanding, David. Thank you very much.
For getting us lunch today.
Thank you, David.
He writes in, he says, hey, lardasses, hope you're enjoying the order. You know they're around
Fred played tennis yesterday. He's not a lardass.
Just happy
around here, they wish
die.
They can eat as well as you guys and the independent candidate from Rhode Island. We have some news about that, by the way, we'll talk about. Anyhow, with the draft a week away and needs known, running back, linebacker, defensive end, will the organization continue to... in with the quantity for a change, go with the best available talent in this quality-laden draft and move up, if that talent is available, using some of those extra picks as bait? Thanks again, Dave, from Tom's River, New Jersey. Oh. P.S., with the warmer weather upon us, Eric, is there such things as lightweight short-sleeve cardigans?
No.
I don't think so. You can wear a sweater vest, though.
No, don't do that. I'm not
See,
Mark
boys
Capello.
To men.
I'm not Mark Capello.
So what do you think about moving up?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean...
I'd rather move up than move down.
Don't count anything out this draft.
But I'm reading this really quickly, but just as an example, Randy Moss has been a four-time All-Pro.
Right, so you're getting a guy that...
So you're getting three years and three All-Pro seasons. That's how rare that is. I may have missed one, but I think four-time All-Pro first team.
That always annoys me in media guides. They always put something to tell you the Pro Bowls usually, but All-Pros are hard to find, and you never know, is it first team, second team?
All-Pro is better than Pro
It's the best. I should be able to find that immediately. I should be the guy's badge if I'm great.
And a Pro Bowl means you're one of the three best in the conference. All-Pro means one of the two best in the league.
And not even that anymore, because with all the people that get...
Right.
It's like when Teddy Bruschi was announced at the draft party as a two-time Pro Bowler, and I look over, I go... Wasn't it just one time? And he goes, yeah, it was only one time.
I mean, Pro Bowls are... Now, maybe he was like a sixth alternate, and that's where they got that from. But
you actually
mind,
said that to Teddy?
Yeah. On stage, I looked at him and
I wonder why he won't come to the show anymore.
He must hate you.
Well, it was wrong.
I know.
The facts are the facts.
I know, but...
I mean, he had gotten a montage. He had gotten a standing ovation. They had given him everything he could possibly get. Let's get the facts right. You don't need to fluff it up.
And when he went home that night, he was... Please tell me they announced you before that.
Oh, yeah. He was at the end with montage and everything.
Because after all that, he went home that night.
Can you believe that kid from PFW said I only went to one Pro Bowl?
He said Perillo?
By the way, speaking of Pro Bowls, they moved my kid up to varsity yesterday.
Nice.
All right.
I saw they got blistered
Very
by
excited.
St. John's
They needed a long pole on the big squad.
Very excited. So
good.
After the, you know, they have vacation, so after vacation he'll start.
Toyota wants you to take a break.
Now is he gonna
take a break?
Is he gonna play?
I don't know. We'll see how much.
That's one of those things.
I know.
Play,
just so you know, it helps when you do the sign when
he doesn't miss a minute on JV.
Yeah, and you're gonna ride the pine.
Right. I don't know.
I'd rather play.
I hear you.
Paul spends the whole show trying to ruin what I do, so he can make fun of me the next time we come on the show without me.
Eric and I appreciate it.
I wanted to that question, that email had me think about something. Need, value, trade up were some of the words in there that I didn't really understand, but yesterday I thought Bill did a nice
value
job.
Value means how much a guy is worth.
Of telling Kevin Hizak that players 10 through 40 are not ranked exactly the same, because while they may have the exact same grade in terms of we're starting a team and this is the value, it's never all the same because you have guys in front of him on the depth chart. You have needs, what he can be, what and Bill said that yesterday, and I wanted to thank Bill for telling Kevin Hizak he was an idiot.
Okay.
Is that so in the transcript?
He is right.
It was to read between the lines.
It wasn't Andy's rant that told him he was an idiot.
It was
Bill Belichick,
in Bill
the
we
man
trust.
Himself,
yeah. So take that, Hizak, and stick it.
Who, by the way, it's still, you know, 508-543-7482 if you wish to call.
He's not a ball sack. He's a vagina.
We'll leave one of the phone lines open for you. let's see.
Hold that line for
it. You know what I love is this.
Sam writes.
Anybody going to get to me with who we're taking if Kindle's not available?
I told you. How about David Carlos Dunlap?
And neither of you seem all that sure of it, so maybe we should trade down.
You know why?
Kindle's my guy. Maybe I'm trading down if we don't get Kindle.
Well, seriously.
That's what I was going
to. Dunlap?
No one, intrigued.
Because I'm getting the sneaking suspicion, Andy, the closer we get to this draft, that it's going to be another disappointment.
Because I'll trade
out of the first round.
Yeah, I'm with Eric.
Regardless of who's there.
My next pass rusher that I like is Jerry Hughes. I don't want to take him at 22. So now I have to go to a different position. I don't want a wide receiver at 22, no matter who it is. Now, what are my needs here? What am I looking for?
Pouncy.
So I'm looking at, I probably want to trade
all
down.
All of a sudden, Mike Reese of ESPN Boston's right.
Was that dumb? Is that not?
I wasn't listening.
He asks questions.
No, I know.
Doesn't want to answer because he just wants to talk fast.
Well, when you two align yourself for the rare moments.
I know.
Fred.
It's so heartwarming, isn't it?
Give me the fist bump there. Sam writes in.
Hey, Sam's back.
It's fine.
How's he doing today?
It's fine.
What's
Miami
fine?
Has taken Marshall in the other moments in the AFC East. As it's been said on paper,
I'm starting to think it's you. Not every email can be this bad, Fred.
Look, it's fine. Miami has taken Marshall and the other moments in the AFC East. That's exactly how it's written. As it's been said on paper, it's nothing until the first kickoff in September. Let's remember our Super Bowl favoritism goes out the window with the home opener last year. Andy, I have a PhD in business organizational psychology, and one study came to mind this morning as I listened to your tennis comments regarding Fred. A study was done regarding homophobia. 40 so-called male heterosexual volunteers participated. They were asked their views slash opinions on homosexuality and then given a test. The participants watched gay adult movies while their manhood was observed with a girth monitor that recorded any movement.
Why would you volunteer for that study?
As the 40 guys watched 5 minutes of film.
You give me any amount of money you want for that. I'll take it.
Right. The study.
I have nothing to worry about there. You obviously
the
do.
Study.
I'm not going to any study where I could leave there and, son of a bitch, I'm gay.
It moved.
My whole life is over.
The study found that the males that were recorded having high homophobia and disdain for gays in the earlier questionnaire recorded higher movement than the participants that were indifferent to the sexual orientation of individuals. So there you go.
My only point
the
is,
the more
like,
you protest, the more likely it is that you have.
When I open the car door and it accidentally brushes me, sometimes I have movement. So
the more
when
it
they strap me up to some machine, I could have movement. And who knew there was a movement monitor?
Girth monitor.
Girth.
And
Kobe Gaff, what you wear?
Fred Gaff.
Nick says I'm wrong. He says there's a story discussing the fact that the Patriots were heavy Super Bowl favorites before the 08-09 season, after they went 18-1.
How about before the 07 season?
Doesn't say.
And then once you find that, how about before the 06 season?
We already proved
him
wrong.
And when you find that, how about
he said
before
last
the 06
year?
I guess he couldn't
year.
Find it.
Well, he found another one.
It
so
only
you're
takes
wrong.
One to prove you wrong.
Yeah. I'm the one who has the reputation on this show of never admitting
you're
when
telling
he's wrong.
Me, you're telling me after they won the 2003 championship against Carolina that they weren't Super Bowl favorites going into 04?
Yeah, no, I might believe that they weren't because that 03 team, as crazy as it sounds now, at the time was thought to have been doing it with mirrors. They weren't that good. They, you know, kind of
okay.
just... Remember all
what
the
about close, the 04 team?
The 04 team was stacked, rolled through the league. That's why I throw 05 in there as a season that I think they were favored.
But we don't even need those at this point. We have the one we
needed
to prove
We have the one I
wrong.
Needed to prove you wrong.
No.
And Paul and I are the ones who just are idiots and stubborn.
No,
and
you and I mean, won't ever admit that when we're wrong.
No.
Like
the
like,
facts
like
were
like
presented
I did when
to you.
When we drafted Richard Seymour.
Fact, not opinion.
Johnny Ola in Fayetteville, Georgia.
I like it.
He says, Areola, do you see better. The Pats going 8-8 or even 7-9? The division just got a lot tougher, and the schedule was tough enough to begin with. We'll see next Tuesday how tough it's going to be when they announce the schedule, but I can see them with an 8-8 record this year and missing the playoffs entirely.
I don't see 8-8. I'm looking 4-12 at this point.
You're an idiot. You really are an idiot.
That's okay, as long as he tells the truth. If he really believes that.
I don't. I am all over the map, and I'm so glad I don't need to make a prediction right now. Because the emotional side of me says the Patriots have not gotten any better, and their competition has. That's
see, but I think that's I think that's accurate.
Like, but all these things, Brandon Tate and Gerard Mayo is going to be a little better, and Sean Crable might play, and Darius
and the
Butler's,
12 draft picks they get.
That's like 17 ifs, and I keep going back to that Tony Maserati theory. The more ifs you have, the worse you are.
Yeah,
because you can't count on all those ifs coming out on the positive.
What can't be weighed on that? I think what you said is 100% accurate. Your team has pretty much stayed the same. The other teams have gotten better. But what you don't know is how much better were the Patriots than those teams last year, and how much is the gap closed, or have those teams passed them? Now, you can't tell me Miami has passed them in talent, because Miami did it with mirrors last year.
Yeah.
But they're better.
The Jets,
but made
I'm
more,
a little bit more worried
moves,
about the Jets moves. Because I think they were closer to the Patriots than it looked last year. And I know there was only one game, but Sanchez just flat out cost them almost every loss.
Mm-hmm.
Just threw the game away, including the one here. If he does that again, the Patriots won't have anything to worry about. But if he plays, like you said, Fred, just solid play, that's a tough team. That's a good team.
Oh, you look, any time you have a defense like that, you're in every game.
And now they'll have an offense to match if they have quarterback play because they've upgraded their offense.
So we'll see. We'll see how it blends. We'll see how the chemistry
You know, even
blends.
Braylon Edwards should
but
be
where,
a better player.
Where would you slot the Patriots right now, objectively? Do they win
I
the
have
AFC East?
I have
second,
I'd say they're
second.
Coming in second.
That's
right
where
now.
I, that's
are
where
they
I would
significantly
right
ahead of the Dolphins, or is there a little bit of a dogfight there?
Oh, no, there's a dogfight.
Oh,
but
a dogfight.
At the end of the day, they come in second.
I think the top three. Yeah. You could be looking at another one of those seasons where, and Goodell gets his way if they're all division games late in the year.
Bad
but
L.
Those three teams could be like within a game in December.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that the there's a possibility for that. And I think you
That'd
wonder.
Be great. I like confidence.
You could either have, they could be that good, the three teams could be that good that you're looking at a division champ and two wild cards,
or that bad.
They
and
beat each
whoever,
other up.
Right.
And the division
wins,
champ
all
goes,
9-7.
Yeah, the division champ goes 10-6, and the other two teams don't even make the playoffs.
Now, I say they're going to come in second, but one more washed up veteran signing, and they're going to be in first place.
Oh, brother.
All right, so.
Washed up veteran. I don't think David King qualifies as a washed up veteran.
We're going to talk about him. All right.
It's now 1:57.
Let's
the David King portion
right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel. Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America, N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
The New England Revolution have more than just fans. They have supporters. A fan might say,
"Hey, buddy, would you knock off the shouting? I'm trying to watch the game."
But a supporter says, Revolution season tickets are on sale now and start at just $225 for 15 matches and 3 special events. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net to get yours now.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
at
the end of the
game?
It was
really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out now.
In trays.
Yes, they do, but it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I can't help it.
I got it, too.
You
didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Now,
we need Sam's movement meter.
508-537-4482 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is emailers. By the way, I don't do this often enough, but 1-800-494-PATS to subscribe to Patriots Football Weekly.
Right.
You know, I would gladly give up any lunch for someone to subscribe to PFW.
Let's not go overboard.
Believe me, you won't be having lunch here if we don't get people subscribing to PFW.
Well, if you're going to make it an either or.
1-800-494-PATS to subscribe. You get the yearbook free. You get access to PFWonline.com. It's very good. Now, Eric has an announcement to make.
I do?
Yeah. About your future. Your future
at
plans.
At Dighton Rehoboth?
No, your future plans. You have an announcement to make.
Yeah, the political stuff?
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to run for that seat.
You're not running.
No.
This year.
You're not going to run for that seat.
No, it's a part-time paying job, but it has basically full-time hours after work.
You don't need to explain. You just made a decision not to run.
Yeah.
We accept that position.
This year for that position.
Yeah. Right.
Now, did the straw poll at the artist convention have anything to do with it where you came in third out of three? No?
No.
Okay.
Nothing third out of two.
All right, so you're not going to be running. So Eric,
not going to be running.
You
gonna
are
going
to be involved.
I'm
going to
be involved with the campaign for the congressional seat that was vacated by Patrick Kennedy.
So that's a big seat.
It is a big seat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to.
What's your involvement there now?
I'll be part of the campaign volunteer staff, doing stuff for that candidate, and hopefully something will come of that. If not, then I'll just, expand the number of people I've met make contacts.
Network,
and, you know,
network in. And
how Monica Lewinsky got started, right?
Monica
Not
Lewinsky?
Those kind of contacts. No.
I just thought about 10 lines I could have said.
Me too.
I was hoping you were going to shoot one of them out there. No, I'm not shooting anything out.
Speaking of,
you took care of that on the tennis court yesterday.
What's
this now? Do you have an announcement to make, Fred?
Yeah, Eric. Eric. Well, no, you weren't here for the tennis discussion?
I was 5 minutes late because I was finishing up interviews.
He thinks I'm gay because I arranged for a time to play tennis with another guy.
And didn't play and then got sad when the guy left before they
played.
Actually got to play.
You said you bounced each other's balls around. We hit for a while. That's all. Yeah. So that makes someone gay in Andy's eyes.
Because Andy is,
right,
a homophobe. That's
Andy
how we got to
backpacks.
Sam's email.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was a backpack. I'm gay. Brady is the best. Ooh, bad example.
Sean in Edmonton, I've been thinking a lot about the team and how they stack up to the new and improved Dolphins and Jets, and it's been a little depressing to say the least. Specifically, when I think about the offense, I think I'd almost have the 2006 version with Rashay Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney than what we have currently. The only argument in favor of the 2010 team is Moss, and even though he's one of my all-time favorite players, he just isn't the same guy he was a few years ago. Also, I think that 06 might have been Brady's most impressive season. Even though he didn't put up the numbers he did the following year, he was able to take that team to an AFC championship and nearly to a Super Bowl. So what do you guys think? Is the offense as bad as I think it is? Keep up the good work.
There's a good argument to be made for that latter point, by the way. I think right now it is. But as the theme of the...
Worse than that one?
Yeah, right now... I think the offensive line, even though they're all the same people, is not as good as it was in 06. And I think,
because of age? Or
yeah, in deterioration, whatever. And I think Moss, if he was playing at the 07 level by himself, would catapult this receiver group over that, but he's not.
So no one's buying the shoulder back Moss.
No, you know that I'm not. I argued with you last year during the season.
Yeah, why not?
He's contractually
obligated. When
Christian
calls you to really get revved up and get a pep talk, the sure why nots don't get it done.
Well, but, why don't we think you know, do we have any proof that he wasn't injured? Why would they lie about it?
I think he was injured.
Are you saying that's
why he tailed off late in the year and became a guy you could shut down and Darrell Revis can own?
Yes.
Was that all due to injury, or is he not the receiver he was 2 years ago?
I think it's a combination.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So that's where you get into the offense. I'm not denying
the injury. I believe he was hurt, but I don't think that was the overriding factor in his decline. That's all.
Gary writes in, now that Haynesworth is available for a probable second round pick, do you see the Pats picking him up? Also, Ted Ginn Jr. is being shopped around. I've heard Coach B is somewhat hot on him. Do you see the Pats putting together an offer for him this week or on draft day?
Yeah, we talked about that. I agree with Paul. I think that's a possibility. Yeah,
I'm not going to shoot the Ted Ginn. The Ted Ginn possibility to me is that reeks of Patriots. You know, a draft day deal.
Yeah.
Some middle round draft pick. With a player involved. You know, one of those third day trades that, you know, like Ellis Hobbs last year. All of a sudden, Ellis Hobbs goes for a fifth-round pick or whatever, and you're like, oh, yeah, Ted Ginn, draft day for a fifth-round, you know, something like that, sixth-round pick. Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very typical Patriots move.
Do we know his financial? I mean, he's coming to the end of his
rookie contract.
Yeah, I think he was the ninth pick overall, so he wasn't quite in that
high money,
quote-unquote, toxic area. But even if he was,
I'm just
most of the money is gone
Hobbs
because
gone,
right. The Dolphins had to pay the bonus.
I'm just comparing it to Ellis Hobbs. They clearly didn't deem a kick returner worthy of $2.5 million.
Mm. Yeah.
Is he in that range?
No, I don't think they would do it just for a kick returner. If they didn't think he could play wide receiver, they wouldn't be doing this.
Well,
if they do it.
What do you mean by play?
Be a guy with potential that could line up opposite Moss and fill your Dante Stallworth role.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't think he had the potential to do that, I don't think they would.
Because I think
they would make them
maybe more dynamic, than Ellis Hobbs. But I think Ellis Hobbs was a really good kick returner, like solid,
no question.
Would get you the 28 yards, but could also get you the 98.
I loved Ellis Hobbs as a kick returner, and the best thing I liked about him is not only what you said that he always got you to the 28 no matter what. The first guy that hit him never got him down. That's what I loved about Ellis Hobbs as a kick returner.
Yeah, probably because a lot of guys hit him,
but he played hurt mostly.
Oh yeah. Let you know about it, but
only after he gave up a touchdown, he would let you know about it.
Tim from Ohio / New Hampshire. I'm in college.
That's amazing.
It was really
hard.
Ends up a shot at him. Yeah. It was really hard to get it out of him too, though, because you'd be like, Ellis, you looked like you might have been less than 100%.
Last week at this time, I was on the surgery table having something taken
out. You know, and then when I was in Mass General, and then the doctor actually cut me at 1:15 on Wednesday. It took me a while to get over that, and then the IV that I had
medicated.
To take.
You want to see
the
scar?
But I'm good. I'll be out there Sunday.
Tim says, there's no doubt in my mind that the Patriots did the right thing by staying away from Brandon Marshall. He wanted too much money, and he would have hurt our locker room, and I don't know if he would be worth 2 second-round picks since this team has other holes to fill. Chad Henne did very well against our defense last year without a Pro Bowl-caliber wide receiver, so the Patriots will have their hands full with Marshall there for the next 4 years. Mark Sanchez will eventually become a threat in the passing game with Braylon Edwards, Dustin Keller, and now Santonio Holmes. Plus, the Bills still have Lee Evans, who will be very good if they ever get an NFL quarterback. With all these high-caliber pass catchers, do you see the Patriots responding to the moves of teams in their division? Bodden and Butler are a nice tandem, but I'm not sure it will be enough since Butler still has some room to grow. But I believe he will be great in a couple of years. Do you see the Patriots trading the Raiders first next year and a second this year for the Raiders first this year and try to take Joe Hayden?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Now, interesting, though, about all the pass catchers, and that's going to be something I think the Patriots are going to have to address, you know, in terms of their pass rush, their depth in the secondary. You know, he mentioned Butler as a guy. I think that they need Butler to step up.
Sure, but even if he steps up, I still think it's all pass rush.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think this year, both those guys at their best are good.
But they need him to be a very good player.
I don't think either of those guys is capable of this year of being a shutdown corner.
No. But
so it's all up to the pass rush.
Brian,
of which you're really
Brian in
on,
Baltimore,
Rob
what's
Nikovich.
Up, men of PFW, or what I would like to call you now, the Pushy Posse. anyway, I got another game today. It's hopefully not as ridiculous as Tuesday's. Again, choose either or.
That was a good game.
I think that, wasn't that the great game?
Yeah.
I also don't think
the one
Joe
we
Hayden are, is
we
great.
Argued out the first one.
I'm not in love with Joe Hayden.
I think he's good. Solid. I don't think he's Darrell Revis.
See, that was
so
another one.
Of, to eight to
you
get.
Know, the, yeah. the game that you wanted us to play about 22 without Sergio Kindle. That was another one that factored in. I don't really love a cornerback there in this draft.
Yeah, no.
We've got a lot of eggs in our little Kindle basket here, huh?
Which is all pointing
which is
to
really
trading down.
Be funny on the radio when,
you
with
know,
the 12th pick, so-and-so takes Kindle. And we go,
yeah, and that's what a lot
like
of people.
Like Larry English last
all right,
year.
I'm out.
San
a lot
Diego.
Of people don't think Kindle will be around.
Yeah.
Right.
Might not be.
But what will be even worse is when he is available and the Patriots
and
have trade no
down
in him.
Fred, for you in the latest PFW mock where they have us taking Dez Bryant, they pass on Brandon Graham. He goes like 24.
Really?
Ooh.
All right, either or.
Ooh.
Take Toby Gerhart with the last second-round pick.
No.
Number 53.
I'll take
or Tim Tebow with the fourth-round pick.
Tebow.
Fourth-round pick?
10 times out of 10.
Tim Tebow with a fourth-round pick.
Okay. Brandon Marshall.
You didn't answer. You get to answer.
That's a tough one for you.
I would take Gerhart.
You're a fool.
You and Teddy Bruschi.
With the last second-round pick.
Now, if you reverse that and said Tebow in the second, Gerhart in the fourth, I would say Gerhart.
That's a no-brainer, though.
But that's where Gerhart's going to get
drafted. I would say.
Gerhart's a mid-round
fullback
pick.
In the fourth round, that's where you take him.
Third to fifth.
Yeah, Arlad says late second, third-round pick for Gerhart.
Third
to
fifth. Don't listen to our lads.
Let's see. Brandon Marshall for
listen
two.
To your lads, not
can't
our
get
lads.
Get him going today.
No, I can't.
I'm really disappointed in myself.
Brandon Marshall.
Go Haddon.
Brandon Marshall for 2 second rounders or acquire Terrell Owens in free agency?
I'll take T.O.
If I had to choose those two, I would take T.O.
Oh, boy. That's terrible.
Take James Starks.
I don't want any part of either one of them.
I don't want any part of either one of them.
Take James Starks with the fourth round
yes.
pick or trade James Sanders for a third round
pick. Oh.
That's easy. Take James Starks.
Oh, you already answered.
By the way,
I might actually cry if they did that.
By the way, any word if James Starks has made a visit to New England?
Yes. I think
I don't
they
know
worked
if it was
him out.
Private workout or visit, but yes. I think they worked him out.
Here's another one. Draft Odrick or Kindle at 22 or trade up to the Titans 16th for Spiller if he somehow drops.
Kindle.
You say Spiller.
Mm.
Paul?
Kindle.
Since I doubt we would get Haynesworth because we aren't doing poo this offseason in terms of free agency, Dolphins, Colts, or Jets acquire Haynesworth? Okay. I don't know if that's an either or. I think he's just stating a fact.
I'll tell you something.
He's saying the Colts.
Which ones of those do we want to acquire him?
The last one I would want would be the Colts.
I would say the Dolphins would be the one.
Because they're the one I fear the least.
Mm.
Right.
If I add a great defensive player like Haynesworth to the Colts.
Oh, my God.
Can't add the Jets.
Can't add the Bills for that discussion at all.
Yeah, let's add the Bills.
Yeah, I would rather see him go to the
ship
Bills.
Ship him off to Jacksonville.
See, what we should do.
A lot of people are high on the Bills.
With Robert Kraft's influence in the league, if the Jets and the Dolphins keep doing what they're doing, Kraft should ask for a redistricting so we can get out of the AFC East and go somewhere else.
Gerrymander the divisions?
We've reached a point where we're so scared of the division, we're going to have to be in another one.
Well, if the Jets get Albert Haynesworth, then if I was a Jets fan, I'd be Fred Kirsch going, give us a trophy.
Speaking of ownership influence, have our fans, our listeners heard the so-called Jerry Jones?
The video.
Yeah.
Well, it's Jerry Jones. There's no so-called about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's just you can't really see him. But you can tell by
the voice.
I saw
him on ESPN. I don't think ESPN runs it if it's so-called.
Huh?
There's a lot of lawsuits that would be filed if it was so-called. It's Jerry Jones.
Yeah, it's
tremendous.
It sure looked like it, yeah.
Couple more from Brian. Brooklyn Decker or Megyn Kelly?
Brooklyn Decker.
Oh. Paul would say Megyn Kelly, though.
Talk about getting that movement monitor out.
Paul's not here
anymore.
I got
some girth growth.
And who would Andy rather make sweet love to, James Sanders or Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson, easily. He's the original love.
And I'm the gay guy.
It is what it is. You have somebody like that. His name is John Elway.
No, not like that.
Yes, you would.
Sorry.
Yes, you would. His name is...
Sorry.
I won't give his name out because he's not a part of this show, but you played tennis with him yesterday.
Sorry.
Oh, you know him? You know him, too. You know Fred's boyfriend.
Aye, aye, aye. He's just a fool, really, isn't he?
Does he?
Yes, that's the answer.
Does he have not have the time, but the inclination? Or
his initials
whatever?
Are BJ.
Oh.
Ironically enough.
Wow. That's just, not only is he just, you know, he's disparaging someone he doesn't even know.
I didn't give out his name, just his initials. You
know, it's just
not his
right.
actions.
It's just not right. It's all going to come back someday.
Probably. You know? I'll be in hell.
He'll be, you know.
Hell. Where did Paul go?
Paulie just left.
I thought he went to the bathroom, but the motion sensor light in that room didn't go on.
Maybe he moved so slow with that boot right. that
it just came
it
on.
It just
now,
did come
though,
on
man.
Now.
Chase from Orlando. I don't know who said it, but I would love to get a guy like Ted Ginn for a five to seven round pick.
Oh, sure.
When might Welker come back, and are they planning on using Edelman and Tate as second and third receivers? Yes.
Probably. Yes and yes.
Also, I hear a lot of Pats fans saying what locker room problems in Divas, Holmes, and Marshall will be, but in reality, that's just bitterness that the Pats didn't get either one and trying to soften the blow of what a pain in the ass those guys are going to be to play against. If we got either one, everyone would be saying they'll magically behave here with no problems.
That's true.
Also, a pass rush is even more important now in the draft because any quarterback looks like a Pro Bowler with 10 minutes to throw the freaking ball.
That's what I said.
That's true, too.
Paul, you missed spilt milk for Brandon Marshall. He's a diva, locker room issue,
we don't want him.
Everything.
We didn't want him the first time. We don't want him now.
I don't want Marshall, but I'm also not going to sit there and say Miami made a bad move because he's going to destroy their locker room. At least in the short term, he's going to have to behave because he's not going to forfeit that money before
he
gets it.
That's the thing. If you are suspended for a year, how does bonus money, can they go back and get it?
I think so. I think they can prorate it, right?
So technically speaking, with a guy like him, it's better for him to be on his last strike because you could lose him permanently, get the money back, whereas if he's on a four-game strike, you just miss him for four games and it hurts your season.
So that's true.
So you're kind of better off
also,
on the last strike.
I also wouldn't be surprised, and I haven't read any details. I didn't read Florio today to see if he ferreted out any of this, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins have some special provisions in there for him.
With if
a,
I were a
you
team,
know, with a $47.5 million contract.
I would have a private investigator follow him from now on so that I have the dirt. If he ever gives me problems, that dirt is sent to the commissioner. He's suspended. I get my bonus money back. It's all over.
The dirty?
That's what I would do.
Get the dirty.com.
Scott writes in, sorry, Eric, he says, see Peter King's article about pass rushers drafted versus production. Doesn't the premise that the bust rate on first-round pass rushers make picking an end a better move?
Why is that sorry,
Why is
Eric?
That sorry for me?
I don't know.
And I haven't seen the story, but there's busts at every position.
And Sergio Kindle is not, quote, just a pass rusher.
And if you're expecting that, you're probably going to think
you're
going to
be disappointed. That's not why I want to draft them.
Let's see. Stripper says, Bradford predictions, bust, Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner. I know Andy loves him. How about the rest of you?
Pro Bowler. Super Bowl winner has a lot to do with what's around him.
Who are we talking about?
Who is this?
Sam Bradford.
Oh. First year? Or like in general?
Just in his career?
In his career.
Will he make a Pro Bowl?
The options are Pro Bowl, bust, Super Bowl winner.
I think you throw Super Bowl winner out because that's not just the
Pro. I'd say Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl.
He'll be a Pro Bowler.
He'll be a Pro Bowl caliber.
Yeah.
He'll make a Pro Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, you know, depending on who else is playing that year,
he's not considered Pro Bowl caliber, then he's a bust in this league because the top nine quarterbacks go to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, eventually he'll go to Hawaii or wherever
that's just
happen.
The AFC this
right.
year.
That's true.
Yeah, I say Pro Bowl.
I say Hall of Fame.
That wasn't an option.
I know. It's weird. The guy from Oklahoma doesn't give me Hall of Fame to pick. I would have picked that over Super Bowl.
Sean says, so I guess we're just going to let our division get better while we sit around and base our season on our draft picks. Is it possible that the Pats are looking towards 2011? It doesn't seem like they want to win this year or even be competitive. I looked at our opponents and I say we are 8-8 when the season ends. I think you guys are going to be sitting there on Tuesdays this season looking at each other wondering what went wrong.
Fred, you really need to drum up one of those speeches.
Your people need you. We'll work on that for a pre-draft show next
April,
week.
April 27th is our Tuesday show after the draft. Is that right? I'll have my speech ready.
Oh, boy.
So you're going with whoever they get in the draft is great.
Right.
Keith in Central Florida, after listening, or who they trade for on that weekend. Keith in Central Florida, after listening to Belichick commenting about some of the interest of trading picks with other teams, gives me the chills. And I live in Florida, especially if it's trading out of the first round
chills?
Or trading picks for next year. I think he doesn't
Fever
like
chills?
It. Question, if the 2010 draft has more than 32 players with first-round grades and possibly 40 players with second-round grades, and 2011 only has 15 players with first-round grades and 20 players with second-round grades, knowing this draft has more talent, which means more value? Next year, less talent, less value.
You can't worry about next year's draft. This year's draft is the only one that matters.
I think that's his point. What idiot would trade their 2010 picks away unless it is to move up to get a better player this year? Trading out of the first or second round or trading picks for next year when the value is here this year and your team needs help this year, not next year. So he's saying...
Don't worry about
2011's
draft.
Yeah, but what if trading out means more picks this year?
Or... What if trading out means higher picks next year?
Right.
I worry about this year.
Listen, I think they need to draft guys that they need to start filling some holes with some talented young players. I agree. But that premise is kind of flawed. If you're getting 5, 8, and 11 next year, that's better than 22, 47, and 44 this year.
Right.
I don't care about the difference in the depth of the draft. The higher you are, the better you are.
I also want to get back to the question I posed where we couldn't come up with a very good answer for 22. We're all opposed to trading, and yet we only have one player ready to pick at 22. What if that guy's gone?
That's the point.
So that's where you have to start consider all the other various options. Now, I'm guessing he has a group larger than one player that he would really like at 22. But, I mean, legitimately, Paul
although you never
talked
know.
For like, well, that's true, could only have 25. I did want to bring up that last part of that with 25 first-rounders and whatever. Pro Football Weekly, take it for what you will. I know a lot of people like it. A lot of people dislike it. This year, they have first-round grades. Read an email. I'll get back to you.
Alex from the North Shore. In recent shows, I've heard you mention one gap, two gap, five technique, and different kinds of 4-3 defensive schemes. Could you please explain this terminology in the basics of the different NFL defensive schemes? Also, can you recommend any books or websites where interested Patriots fans can go learn more about football schemes? That's Alex from the North Shore.
Andy?
I'll help out since he's reading.
Where's Mr. Football?
He's reading something in his draft guide there. One gap versus two gap. One gap means...
Suddenly this guy's the expert on gaps?
Well, suddenly you're just reading and highlighting things in papers?
When it was a serious question, I couldn't pull myself away.
Mind the gap.
Take a shot at you.
One gap means that the defensive lineman's responsibility is just to shoot through the open gap that he's assigned to try to make a play, basically. Two gap means that at the snap of the ball, he's occupying a piece of real estate on the line of scrimmage and reacts to one gap or the other depending on which way the ball is going. Right. So it's more of a read and react type of
Well, you're lined system. Up head on your lineman in the two gap, and you're lined up in the gap between two of them in a one gap. And like Eric said, you have responsibilities from either side.
Right.
In the two gap, it's more about technique and hand placement and leverage and all that stuff. The zero technique is what you would consider the nose, right?
Yes.
And a five technique is what you would consider an end in the 3-4.
Who's lined up on the tackle?
The three technique would be a tackle in the 4-3.
Who's lined up on the guard? Okay. Usually with a shade.
So you start in the middle, like Paul
That's
said.
Why I wanted Mr. Football. He throws in the shade for me.
Zeros.
Well, the other thing I want to throw in there.
Plus, I didn't want to say something that was wrong.
The two gap.
I know you know this stuff.
Your first movement essentially is to own the blocker. If you're the nose, it's the center. Own him. If you're the end, it's the tackle. To some degree, if you're the inside linebacker, it's the guard who you're head up on. But all the two gaps overlap.
Right.
That's one thing I think people don't get is the nose tackle is responsible for the A gaps, both sides
both
of the
sides.
Center. His inside linebacker on either side is responsible for man up on the guard, which gives him A gap and B gap. So they both have responsibilities in the A gap. Now there's some fluctuation based on different fronts and responsibilities, backside, front side, different things of that nature. But that's the thing I think a lot of people don't understand is they think, oh my God, if Vince Wilfork gets killed on one A gap, theoretically there's two guys responsible for that A gap. So there's some overlapping there to kind of redundancy, if you will, in terms of covering for it.
But
in terms of books or websites, I'm not sure of any.
Maybe we should write a book.
It all starts, though, what you said, owning in that two-gap technique, owning your guy. Because if he gets out on you first, if he gets the leverage first, it can move
you. It's over.
It's over.
Ray Rice goes 90.
Right.
Or 80 plus.
That's why, you know, the 3-4 guys on the line tend to be bigger because, you know, you don't want it to be able to move. You know,
Now I wanted to get to Pro Football Weekly's grading system. They have 28 guys with first-round grades, which is what? Four short of filling out the first round, right? And they have 58 guys with a second-round grade or higher, first and second-round
grade. So counting, okay.
So six shy of filling out the first two rounds. So as much as everybody wants to pretend this is the greatest draft ever, the deepest draft ever, they didn't fill out both rounds with their grading system, whether you think they're good or not.
Less than other years.
It has been. Yeah. I mean, there's been years where it's a lot less, but my point is everybody seems to think
right.
there's going to be first-round value way into the second and second-round value into the third.
Like
based on them, no, there isn't.
Like two emails ago, Fred, someone suggested
there
was...
But there's always guys that spread that out. So like the number 28 guy probably won't get picked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not going to go 1 through 28
right.
based on those grades.
No, but I mean somebody may have taken somebody with a fourth-round grade high.
Because of their value board.
Right.
And
like
the Raiders.
As I said on Tuesday, that's why it's good.
He gets all excited.
But that's why it's good to have the day off because you can assess what the Raiders did, and then you can bump a guy up and figure out who's available in the second round. But
go research the guy they drafted.
By the way,
find
Paul,
out who
Megan Kelly or Brooklyn Decker?
Oh, Brooklyn Decker.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Unanimous.
But
I thought you loved Megan Kelly.
I do, but
that's like saying
that's
Bo
different.
Jackson or Barry Sanders. Oh, Barry Sanders. No, I love Bo Jackson.
No, that's different.
My loyalties lie with Bo.
Oh, you missed one too.
That's
who
totally
was it,
different.
James
different.
Sanders.
You're talking about two different animals.
To make
there.
Love to.
Him.
Yeah,
come on.
Somebody asked.
No. The question
if
was
Andy
posed.
Wanted, if Andy would
if I had
rather
to
make
either
sweet love to Bo Jackson or James Sanders,
and, <it's, laughs> and in a nanosecond, I said Bo.
Bo, come on.
That's the question that was posed.
I know how
to me.
He was answering that.
He wants a little boho.
What? But the email a couple of emails ago suggested that there were 40 first round grades in this draft.
Who said that?
One of the emails.
Yeah, and
now I know
now
he
I'm
was
not
just,
saying this is God, this
but
is
he
Bible
was just throwing here. He was just throwing out numbers. He wasn't saying he was being a hypothetical.
But right. this is the same guy doing the same grading for the last. I mean, when did the other guy die? For the last 5 years,
Bill
anyway.
Bushbaum.
Yeah,
I have
Nolan
Rocky
has
that.
Done this. For what?
I mean, if you only have 28 guys who are in the first round grades, what? Basis are you rating that on? Like, is it first round of the best draft ever?
No, they grade it based on a player.
Shouldn't
I don't
you,
know their exact number numerical evaluation system.
But shouldn't you be able to grade 32 guys that are good enough for the first round this year? Obviously, you think
that's
some
a different
of them,
no, that's no, a no. different grade though,
and that's where you get into value. That's why Belichick could be at 22 and say there were only 15 guys worthy of first round grades. I'm getting the hell out of here. I'll pick at 36 where right. I'm going to get a guy who's worth the 36th pick in the draft.
Now, that's what Belichick does
right.
all the
and
time.
That water might get muddied, but they do it to that degree that this guy is worth the position, and it's not relevant on the year. It's not graded on a curve or whatever for that season. I would like to know the exact way to break this down. That's one thing I've never heard. Have any of you guys ever?
Mm-mm.
Where they get 6.25?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk
do
to
they
Bill
give
about.
A guy a 1 to 7 on, you know, a corner on his
well,
zone play, man play,
that's how
play,
all these
physical,
guys get away
blah.
With it is they all have their own grading system.
Like me. No one can...
Yeah.
You figure out the up arrow, the three-quarter arrow, the half arrow.
Well, you can't right. even figure it out.
Well, the one I
invented
it.
Movies
the one
something?
I figured out, though, that was the John Beck double-down arrow.
And was it right?
Hey, listen, I was with you.
If
I didn't
the
have
Dolphins
a double-down
had
arrow.
Had that, would they have made the mistake of draft? That was the Dolphins, right?
Second round, I think.
Thank
yeah.
you. Would they have made that mistake? Was that a good pick? No, it wasn't.
Terrible.
If they had just looked at my thing and said double-down arrow, they
terrible
would have said don't
pick,
draft.
Terrible
they
player.
Just looked at Andy Hart's draft
oh,
sheet.
And I'm more of an idiot than Cam Cameron in that era. They drafted Ted Ginn and John Beck.
We're not taking a shot at you.
Swinging a one,
okay.
swinging a two.
Calm down.
We
have to talk
calm.
Fast.
I have energy. I'm sorry. I bring passion to my job, Eric. Why don't you try it sometime?
Jesus. Todd writes in, I was a former subscriber to PFW. Loved the paper.
Former.
So order the
former.
Damn paper.
The thing that pissed
I'm
me,
guessing mail's going to come
in. The thing
this.
That pissed me off was that it took so long to get to me. I live in Carol's Jackson, fault. Wyoming. And now for the past few years, actually, you would like it out here.
Can you send me
the
a
New Englanders move out west to ski in the Tetons and or is
Tetons.
It
Tetons?
Tetons, yes. And enjoy
from
Yellowstone.
Spencer
Grand
Need
Teton.
Was from the Grand Tetons, wasn't he?
But
a
there
great
was a Sox radio
Rocco
station
Scudero.
In Nesson, blah 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 blah. By the time I would get to it, the paper, I would get it. It would be after the following week that the paper was talking about the issue. Could have talked about the thing for 3 weeks, blah, blah, blah.
It's
okay.
the greatest
so
what about the
there?
Online version?
He wants to know if... Well, that's the thing. See, if you get the newspaper, you get exclusive access to PFW Online, and we post the entire issue...
It's not the same.
As soon as... I know it's not the same,
yeah,
but
you can get it.
Pretend it is.
Yeah. You can get it, though. So
sorry,
subscribe
guys.
Again. I don't mean to be anti-us, but it's not the same.
But you are.
No, I'm anti. You get the online, and
yeah,
it's the same.
Jets.
It's not the same.
But depending on where you live, they have worked out a lot of those mailing problems. Let's see.
But the bottom line is subscribe again. You can get the content.
Yeah, the bottom line is try again.
You can get the content immediately online.
1-800-494-PATS.
Right. Tell them PFW in Progress sent you.
Right.
You'll get no discount.
Anthony in Boynton Beach says, guys, wouldn't Jared Odrick be a better fit, or would Patrick Robinson be? Because the Patriots' biggest problem in my mind last year was the fact that their cornerbacks couldn't come up with big stops in crunch time, and I can't get that Saints game out of my head.
Well, pass rush will have a big deal with the pass coverage. I mean, sure, if you think corner's a bigger need, I personally don't. I put Lee Bodden, Darius Butler, Jonathan Wilhite ahead of Rob Ninkovich and guys that, if you don't draft pass rushers, are going to play a significant role for this defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the biggest Rob Ninkovich fan there is. I probably kind of greeted him when he came up the stairs first time here at practice.
Brady practice. Too. Talking about practice.
I really count on him.
I like Odrick, but I want, if you're going to make a first-round pick, I want a guy who's going to be a playmaker consistently, and I don't see that from Odrick. I think he'd be a good player. I think he'd contribute, but we need, as Andy said, that pass rusher, and that's not what Odrick's specialty is. It's not what he's built for.
Josh from Canada, I just wanted to thank you for reading my email on air. It was actually my birthday on the 13th.
Happy birthday.
So thanks
belatedly.
Again. Anyway,
Jackson
thanks for
Hearts
clearing
well.
Up the Ghost and Kindle comparison. I heard it somewhere and was concerned after all the Kindle talk. Also, thanks for elaborating and why you're so hooked on Kindle. I'm sure no matter who Bill picks will turn out, well, he's probably the best talent evaluator in the NFL. Just curious
Hundreds.
Who the three of you would pick with the first four picks, not who you think Bill will pick,
Bill
but just your own personal preferences, and maybe let the rest of us non-experts in on some players that aren't being picked in the popular mock drafts for the paths that we could end up with. By the way, I thought Andy's rant was awesome.
Thank you.
It was something to see.
Oh, can I do a quick apology for my Hitler joke yet again?
Not even,
I broke my own rules and I made a Hitler joke and I felt bad about it. Let's move on.
Four picks, four guys that you would pick realistically that they'd have a chance of getting.
Sergio Kindle, Rob Gronkowski, Damian Williams, and somebody else.
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate. Well, that's two receivers.
And a tight end.
I'd be okay, actually, with two receivers, a tight end, and an outside linebacker.
Needs have been filled.
I probably prefer at this point, the more we talk about it, to fill that fourth slot with a D-end, whoever they deem a D-end.
Yeah, like if you move down a little bit, Odrick would make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Houston, a guy that we kind of like out of Texas also.
Yep.
D-end type.
Muschamp connection.
What's his last name if he's out of Houston?
I said out of Texas as well. But I like the wide receivers too. I like Golden Tate. I like Aurelius Ben a little bit. Damian Williams, the guy that Andy mentioned.
USC.
I don't like Gronkowski as much as Andy does, but I do think he's good. I think all the tight ends are good. I was very impressed with this class in general.
It is a good tight end class.
I kind of
worries
like,
me every time I think it's a deep class. Bill will say, "I don't need to take him there. I can get him there."
Yeah,
take the best one, Bill.
I like Jimmy Graham a little bit too.
Oh, I love Jimmy Graham. I'm not sure he's a second round pick at this point, though.
Paul in London.
We don't have a third.
Paul in London
just
says,
"Throw out some names for him."
I'm probably one of the 1%. Who hasn't fallen off the bandwagon, but it is what it is. I'm a homer. Yes, Andy, I said homer. I subscribe to the newspaper and have the full subscription. I got the draft issue on the Saturday of the week it was released, considering it had to get to the
in
UK.
London?
Wow.
That's pretty damn
good. Hard copy?
Good.
Do you pay the extra?
So here's a testimonial to you, Fred. Subscribe to the paper. It's the best Patriots paper in Foxborough.
Wow.
I think we can make that claim without any problem.
Yeah, especially with Doc Z not around anymore.
Right. Jordan and
another
Ireland.
Praise from Tom Curran, by the way.
Yes,
very high on the latest
draft,
issue,
the draft issue.
He put together a great paper. Of course, he didn't know that Brandon Marshall had been traded to the Dolphins.
Well, you know.
Jordan in Ireland. Answer to an earlier question.
Northern
I would
or
definitely
Southern?
Hope we would trade the Oakland pick to realistically move into the top 15 this year. At this position, a player like Rolando McClain would be available, and
ooh,
coupled
spikes.
With. Hopefully, Graham Kindle at 22 would seriously improve the entire D as we will be helping the coverage with one mainly to pass rush and the other to help out against the run and drop into coverage, as well as potentially a tight end on the goal line. This would also allow us to freely target a high-end receiver with the first of our second-round picks and fill many of the gaping holes that people continue to label the Patriots with. Just a thought anyway. Still loving the show. Can't wait for the draft. So
what? I missed the very beginning. What are we trading to get in the top five?
Next year's pick, the Raiders' pick.
Oh,
and top 15. He said, didn't he?
Yeah, top 15. I think he said. And something else because.
So you're trading.
I think
next year's first rounder to get up into the top 15 this year.
I mean, maybe you have to give something else.
Maybe a second rounder nothing, as well or something.
I wouldn't think it would be that high.
I wouldn't give both, but yeah, maybe another fourth rounder? Middling pick.
I forgot to add Brandon Spikes to that list earlier. I would consider him in the second round. I'm intrigued by him.
Yeah.
The McLean one,
I like Spikes.
I don't think he's the kind of playmaker.
I just don't the value.
Yeah.
I want to add a guy that's elite talent at an elite need. I'm not sure Rolando McLean. Yeah, another
inside linebacker is not going to be the elite.
Okay, so now maybe we don't give up the 80-yard run to Ray Rice because we have Mayo, Wilfork, and McLean playing in the middle. Well, are we still giving up runs?
Still playing safety?
Are we still giving up runs on the edge? Or are we still giving up passes because we have no pass rush? I just don't know how much value there is there.
Eric, you interviewed the new punter today, David King.
No, I interviewed Damian Williams. Oh, and by the way, it's Damian, even though it's spelled Damion.
Dami1?
So, no, Dami1 was how he was joking that when he was old enough to know.
It's Damian Lewis, right?
Damian Lewis. What did you call him?
Williams.
Sorry.
I didn't want anybody to get confused.
What happened to the punter?
He was during the show, so we can't get him.
Might be talking right now, actually.
People are trying to figure out his biographical information.
But yeah, I asked him.
What's the problem there? Media Relations sent out a press release, and apparently.
He's an Australian rules football player.
There are some other Australian rules football players.
So a lot of the information was culled from different sources
about
pertaining to different David Kings.
Is that like John Doe over there? David King? John
so
Smith.
Which is the real David King?
Don't know.
That old show? Yeah. You tell the stories.
Right.
To tell the truth.
Please stand up. But Damian Williams, good first impression from him.
Lewis.
Did I say Williams again?
Yeah,
God almighty.
I just don't want to confuse the listeners.
Damian Lewis.
Sorry, Damian Lewis. Yes, and it's Damian.
You need to focus on the last name, not the first.
Did you get into another argument about a guy?
Well, I was
going to
ask him that. I asked him how to pronounce it. I asked him how he pronounces it.
Even though, you know, he was wrong the first time he said it.
I asked him how he pronounces it because it's a unique spelling. And he said, yeah, it's Damian. He's like, yeah, my mom's a little weird. She's a country girl. I was joking with her when I was a kid. I was like, what are you going to call me, Dami1? So even he thinks it's funny, Fred.
And did you correct his mother?
No.
So did the Rams paper when he was the first round pick do Dami1?
Like we did with Marwani,
yeah.
Lawrence Maroney, when we picked him? Don't know.
Hello, Damian.
Hello,
I just said it's Damian.
Damian.
Are you not listening?
How do you correctly pronounce it?
Damian.
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 Yes. Like,
not Damian.
Oh. It's Scalavano.
Is it Damian or Damian?
Oh, my God.
You want to fight him?
I do.
Who, Eric or Fred?
Both.
Oh, me too. I've always wanted an Australian
rules
punter.
Good first impression, though.
And I'm intrigued by the idea.
With Lewis.
Yes. Even though he's old.
There was a lot of punters
retired from Australian rules football 7 years ago. Well, again, I'm assuming that some of the
biographical
information.
It could be a different David King.
And did you see the word that was used to describe him? He's like a Niggy Lowler or something, which is not offensive anyway, just before anybody emails it.
That wasn't in the press release, was it?
No, it was in like an online description, and it was a word from over there, and I forgot what it means. But
that's not like a lollygagger?
Now, did anybody... Oh, you didn't go to him, did you?
No, here's what happened.
Foster's. Is
that really Australian for beer?
Damian Lewis... Got it right there, didn't I? Damian Lewis had his interview on time as scheduled. And then we had a little bit of a lull, so I came upstairs, gave the audio to Ferreira to put on Patriots.com. It should be on there if anyone's interested.
Nope.
Went back down because Pat Chung, Paul's guy, was scheduled to talk sometime between 11 and noon before the show. So at 11:45, we get the call from PR. Doot, doot, he's ready. Let's go outside. Okay, we go outside. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. 20 minutes go by. I said, the hell with it. I'm coming to the show.
I don't know if you know, he doesn't know where the game
is. Oh, so you ended up not even talking to him?
We ended up not talking to him because...
Well, he didn't get him on Thursday.
No one did?
Nobody did. He hadn't come out yet. So I came in to do the show, and those a few straggling media decided to stay, but most people left.
Nice. He's not endearing himself to the media.
Yeah, somebody commented...
Which is neither here nor there. I mean, no one should care about that.
if you're not in the media.
I personally think he should.
No, but no, I'm saying
I think having a bad relationship with the media can't help you.
No, it can't. But I'm saying if I wasn't part of the media, it wouldn't bother me in the least to find out that he blew off the media that day.
No, but as the person, I'm saying, the player. And you know what? When you're a second round pick and you don't really play, you'll get a longer leash if you're friendly with the media. Because as soon if he continues to irritate people and starts this year not playing, not doing anything, the bust label will come quicker if they don't like you.
There was a comment from somebody.
I don't know why Ron Brace got labeled the bust. He seemed very nice.
There was a comment from somebody in the group. Don't you have to be good at least to be this much of a jerk?
Mm.
I'm kind of paraphrasing.
Eric.
No.
Oh, you didn't really want me to guess? Mike Reese.
I guess
he'd be the last guy I would guess.
No. Tom Curran?
David King's about, Tom what, Curran was he, 38? 38?
We don't know.
The old Tom
well,
Curran.
According
so Manza Young?
No, according to this, he was born in March 1972.
Which who? David King?
The former Australian rules footballer who played for the North Melbourne Football Club.
Well, I believe that's the one that was
the one that was
in
the press release
that we were then
we don't
told
know if
wrong.
It's the same one or not.
So is this going to be this thing where, like...
They're supposedly sending out a corrected release at some point later today.
Okay.
I think we're wasting a little too much time on this topic.
But he's the only punter on the roster right now.
Yes, but then they draft one and he'll be the punter.
Could be.
Again, I've always wanted an Australian rules punter, ever since that Darren Bennett guy.
Took the football
I'm wondering
in the
if he's
going to
be one of those new age punters that you know runs before he kicks it.
I don't think so.
Directional kind of stuff.
So.
Keith is upset. He says, "Get the facts
makes
right,
it look like
fellas."
He's trying to fake the punt.
This email does not say 40 first rounders. It says 32 first round grades with possibly 40 second round grades. Either way, you guys should get the point that this draft has more talent than usual. So why delay in rebuilding your roster when the opportunity is there right now to improve it?
But I'm giving you a counterexample that says it doesn't have more talent. It doesn't fill out either round.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's a good draft.
Cedric in Chicago.
I don't think it's anything special.
Bill didn't seem to think so. Didn't really give that impression with the some are better, some are worse. It evens out.
Not. Bill,
juniors, guys who didn't play last year are going to give me a
Bill really
high.
Threw cold water on everybody yesterday.
Yeah. They're trading. They're trading down.
Downplaying
down.
The whole
I'm
process.
Convinced. Okay. They're trading out.
Now, I don't know if that was because he's preparing and trading or – Well, what? I mean, he
feel bad for the people.
He specifically talked about
the draft party.
Some more depth at some spots that hasn't been recently, but on the flip side, less at spots. And then follow that up with we're getting all kinds of calls on our second round picks. Mm. So you're wondering why he's offering all that kind of information. Maybe he's trying to grease the skids.
Sure.
For a possible trade.
Cedric in Chicago, I have a few questions. First off, Andy, get off Tebow's back. He might never play in the NFL, but why are you so bitter about him?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a great question. I don't really have an answer.
You are better than that.
Hey,
I
for no reason.
You
no,
because
he's not.
You are one hell of a guy. You are great. By the way, Andy, you are smarter than people think. Not as smart as Paul, though. And I think that...
That's inaccurate.
And I think that you care also about kids. Looking forward to Bears Pats. Second of all, why did not we pick up Brandon Marshall... Dylan and Moss were troublemakers and bad guys when we traded for them. I was wondering, would you have traded for them if you knew what the Pats wanted them?
So the guy actually wrote it out properly, and you still had to mock him.
I am very.
If you had just written, "Why didn't we pick up?" you would have just read it instead of, "Why did not we pick up?" Like he's a moron.
I am very surprised with Pats fans because it was, if it was us that picked up Holmes, the fans would have said that it was a good deal for the Pats with low risk. But when it is not us, we have to wait and see.
That's
because
what fans
Holmes
do.
Might be a distraction for the Jets locker room. Come on. We cannot have it one way. We have to recognize that the Jets made a great move as well as the Finns.
Can't be hypocrites.
Anyway, I have a game.
That's right. I don't know about the Finns.
I think we all said that Holmes was a low-risk, high.
We can't.
No, we
argue all that's
but,
a bad decision.
But the fans in general, he's right. The fans have really poo-pooed it.
Yeah.
Let's not say anything yet. Let's see how he works out in the locker room.
Yep.
And.
But I think you can argue that
and
for Brandon Marshall. Two twos and $50 million.
I think you can argue
there's
it
no
for,
downside to Santonio Holmes.
I think you can argue it for all of those guys that have question marks, and I think you could reasonably argue that with Corey Dillon and Randy Moss, too. But
right.
The emailer's point is we don't argue it when it's the Patriots.
But the only guy in that group you just gave, Holmes, Moss, Dillon, that came with a $50 million deal is Brandon Marshall.
Right, and that's why I wouldn't have done. That's,
they
that's what separates those,
both
all those situations.
If they had traded for him on a one-year deal, then it's different.
And much like I said with Fred earlier in the show, usually the Patriots do that on their terms. This is on Brandon Marshall's terms, and that's why I want no part of it.
An issue.
A little would you game.
Yep.
Trade
Brooklyn
a second.
Decker, yes.
Hell yes.
Trade a second to
I
the
just
Redskins
did, in fact.
For Haynesworth. Would you trade a second to the Redskins?
What?
He's just yelling and screaming.
I'm sorry, Fred. It's late in the show. Let's do another hour. We got to make up for the first
Paul
hour.
Paul loves this.
It's a nice,
I love this show.
I
love saying that
day.
At the
Let's
end, though.
Play
Let's
two.
Do another hour.
Let's play two.
Plus the Red Sox are on. Come on.
Trade a
Put
second.
Your Red Sox you on.
You're going to watch them in your office or here. It doesn't right, really matter.
Fred's getting upset. Let him read the email.
We finally did it. It took us an hour and 55, but we did it.
Poor Cedric's just trying to have his would you
two,
game read.
Okay, would you?
A second round pick for sure.
Yes.
Wait, I didn't
Haynesworth.
Haynesworth.
Haynesworth. Yes. Yes.
I mean, why not? You took Ron Brace sure. with a second round
he's
pick.
He's a great yeah. player.
Better than he's Ron, better. He's better than Ron Brace.
Right. He will be better than Ron Brace. I guarantee it.
Would you trade 2 second round picks for a first round pick to get 2 first round picks to get playmakers?
If the right guy is there, yeah.
And the guys I want to see with the first four picks, Sergio Kindle, Golden Tate, Jerry Hughes, and Brandon Spikes.
Oh, I'm okay
I
with
like that.
That.
I like that draft. Okay. I like those four guys.
And one more thought before I go. I think that the Jets are the favorites of this division. Miami is not far from us. What do you guys think? I think we all
think
kind
that's
of agree.
Accurate.
Pretty much what I think. It could change. There's 4 months.
Right.
It could change.
It is still April.
Give me till April 27th.
But you know what the Jets have done?
I'll guarantee it won't change for me on April 27th.
Right.
Unless there's a veteran trade involved that we don't
I
know
expected
about.
The Jets to take a step back this year because I thought they were going to be one of those year one jumps. I think they've done enough that if it works, they've prevented the step back.
It's interesting that you brought that
up. They
didn't
stay the same.
Talking to No Sox yesterday. Who's a veteran of the show now, so we can throw him in there. He thinks
but
that.
Still has no suck.
That's how he feels about the Jets. He thinks it's a step, you know, and that's a very common thing, especially in football.
All the time.
Team kind of struggles, gets good.
I don't care.
You think they're
going
to get
the
great.
Jets
the Dolphins out. A few years. The Dolphins in the second year of Nick Saban. First year, they were like 9-7. They beat us the last game of the season. Everybody thought they were the flavor of the month, and then they stunk, and Saban left. I think the Jets took that step forward year 2 years ago. The Jets stunk, were 8-3 under Favre and kind of fell apart down the stretch. That was their step forward, step back year. And I think now they're kind of progressing under, I think they're better now than they were.
Makes you wonder if they had a good quarterback there, if they had if they would have stepped back.
I think a lot of you guys
are
protecting yourself.
Makes you wonder if
you're
he hadn't gotten hurt.
I think the Jets are the favorite in the AFC East. I don't know how that's protecting
yourself.
So does Fred. So does Fred, by the way. He admitted earlier he's picking the Patriots to be second.
That's a very uncommon
thought
around here. The Globe, yes.
In fact, Fred is actually going to the league to find out if we can go to a different division. This one's too hard
now. He's petitioning to get out of the AFC East.
Redistricting, he calls it.
The Globe is
you and that guy from
everything.
That's his name, Tom.
That's why the schedule's taking so long to get out of here.
Yeah.
The Globe is poo-pooing the Jets and the Dolphins offseason. ESPN Boston poo-pooed all the moves in the offseason. I mean,
really?
It just seems like, yeah. Mike Reese wrote a big thing. You don't win championships in April. Shalice and the Globe wrote, all the names are bold-faced, but are they any good?
Really?
Who?
Basketball championship in April?
Shalice in the Boston Globe. Shalice Manzi-Young. That's why I actually think it's
the uncommon
view is that the Jets actually are better than the Patriots right now.
I think if you polled
New England fans, I'm talking about. Not many people think that.
No, I think.
Brady. As long as they got Brady and Belichick.
I think if you poll.
Brusky taught me.
Brusky
taught me you can't think like that.
At least people on this show. If you
not to mention the Ravens.
If you poll Patriots fans right now, honestly, they would say that the Jets have to be the favorite in the AFC East. Patriots fans. I think if you poll Patriots fans.
Probably.
Yeah. I think if you polled anybody on the planet, they should say the Jets are the favorite right now.
But they
went farther last year and did more.
By the way, says Cedric,
already had a better draft too. They got Santonio
Cedric
Holmes.
Cedric says many Touché. Listeners have Eric's back. I got you, Eric. Says Cedric. You guys take care and keep on going. You're the best.
You're big in Chicago. Sam and Cedric's from Chicago too, right? Maybe you should move there.
Why do
like
people
Chicago.
Feel they need to get your back? You don't
you
participate in the show anymore.
What are you talking about?
You just sit there.
What are you talking about?
You're enjoying the show. You
might it's as a good well, show. Why shouldn't
it's
he?
The last 30 seconds of the show.
You might as well bring us lunch. You're like a spectator.
Plus, Eric, you know, in defense of Eric,
I've not talked once in the show.
You
what
don't
is
know where the tight
about?
End lines up.
In defense of Eric, it's 3 of 2, and Eric was just assuming that the show was over. You know, because
it usually ends 5 minutes
usually
before.
Ends. It's
true.
He's thinking about his political career. You know,
he doesn't want to say anything that's going to come back and haunt him.
It's just beginning. He's got a network right now,
which is what he should have done. This is actually the first smart step you've made. You were trying to jump in all feet.
Don't you love when you have that going for you?
Now you're actually
Andy's
doing it the right way.
Andy's in primitive.
I like
Andy's
that. Stamp of approval.
You're trying to jump in all feet.
All feet.
All right, that's going to be
guy,
it.
This guy who screws up every phrase.
Hold on.
What
Patriots
signed
Dave King.
Patriots have signed punter Dave King.
Okay, who is he?
Read the release. So
King is a former Australian rules football player who played in semi-pro ball for the Bundura and Euroa in Norwood.
Okay, so that's different than what we had earlier.
Norwood.
Australian rules football in Norwood, Mass.
And that's as late as 2008. King came to the United States in 2009 to work towards signing with an NFL team after participating
in a kicking camp in Nevada. Okay,
was,
so that part was true.
He was born on August 24th, 1981 in Melbourne.
So he's 29?
So he's 36. 81?
Did he 29?
Oh, 29. Oh,
where'd you get 36 from?
I don't know.
How does 81 in 2010 somehow he... Again, why is he in every important meeting this organization has? I'm not saying you need to
I didn't go from three Super Bowls in 4 years to barely hanging on for the playoffs.
The ship is sinking and Fred is weighing it down.
No extra hour?
Is your mic off, Fred?
I can't hear you.
Fred, turn your mic off.
He turned his mic off already. He's never done that before. He's never missed a close because his mic was off.
We'll see you on, see you next,
next Tuesday.
PFW in progress. Not your run-of-the-mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.